morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Well, I had, first let me say hello to Teresa Strasser.
Hello, Adam Carolla.
And Danny Bonaducci.
Hey, Adam Carolla. Hey, Teresa.
Hey,
good
man.
To see
hey,
you
bye.
Guys. I have a question for you guys. I was eating my breakfast, watching my CNN this morning in my kitchen, and I was, well, they'd apprehended the guy who dumped the liquid mercury in the... By the way, we'll just call it mercury because you rarely see it in the solid form.
Yeah, I was going to say that. It's
you never hear frozen mercury, mercury rock.
Well, you're never going to hear frozen mercury.
Liquid right. mercury is the form it seems to come in. But yeah. the point is this guy, if you guys didn't know the story, they had video surveillance of this guy dumping it on the ground in the subway here out in Los Angeles. And then they... couldn't find the guy, and they wanted to know why he was bringing heavy metals in, and was it some sort of test for a terrorist, and blah, 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 and they got hold of him, and he's some Mexican junkie drifter who just got it out of a trash can. Now they want to know why a vial of liquid mercury was in a trash can. But it's more just sort of sloppy police work, as it always seems to pertain to. Whenever, I mean, this is why these CSI shows are no good for me, when they... round up these murders in 48 hours when the reality is it takes 45 years to get some guy from Alabama convicted for some hate crime.
I've actually never seen CSI, but their episodes pay $6,500 each, so I like it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
A little more than the going rate.
No kidding.
Point is I was thinking to myself morbidly while I was eating my eggs and watching my TV this morning. I thought, I wonder which we'll have first in the Southland, a major earthquake or a major terrorist attack, because we're about due for both.
The way
I look at it. And the earthquake thing, I've lived out here my whole life, and Teresa hails from the Bay Area, and Danny's from out here. Usually a good one about every 12, 13 years.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's about the last big one, Northridge?
About how it works. Yeah, I mean, it was 94, last big one. So we're due. And then as far as the terrorist stuff goes, well, I figure they'll be going West Coast this time around because the East Coast lets the rest of the country off the hook. If you're looking to terrorize,
yeah.
In my mind, you go, you know, you do one at the right and you do one at the left and everyone in the center is freaked out.
Would it be irresponsible of me to say where I'd go since where I'd go is coming up?
Meaning where you go?
If I was a terrorist and I wanted, I wanted America to sit up and go, oh my God, we're not safe.
Right.
I know where I'd go.
Where would you go?
I'd go to the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Well, it did strike me when a few years
Which
back.
Means I'm safe. Even my TV won't be affected.
The sad news is millions of innocent people will die or hundreds of thousands of innocent people will die. But then Prince will be amongst them.
Amongst them, right.
Jeez, I'm with you, Danny.
Yeah, okay.
Let's hit the
Super Bowl.
Let's go to the Super Bowl.
You're not with me. I don't suggest it. I don't suggest Here's why I think they might not.
No, that's
not.
A great... Excelsior.
Thank you.
I say, that's a great idea.
But here's why they might not hit the West Coast, or at least the part of the West Coast that we happen to be in. It's too big and spread out, and you won't do enough collateral damage. The closest we've got is San Francisco.
I've also have my xenophobic argument, which is you're not going to get many, many white people out here these days. I mean, you blow up the subway in L.A.
Right.
We got a whole bunch of illegals from Nicaragua and El Salvador, but you don't get whitey.
Right.
I mean, you're looking to get the blue-eyed devil.
Right.
Best I can tell. And you're looking at the Jews and the blue-eyed devil. You blow up downtown L.A., you'll get a handful of whiteys, but they're going to be a big cracker count over there.
Mostly Mexico will be really mad at you.
You may, depending on where you go, if you hit parts of Glendale, get more of your own than you'll get of a whitey. And the thing is
you go anywhere near me, you're getting Armenians.
I feel like you want whitey. You're going to blow up. You want Jews and you want whitey. And that is a good argument for the middle of the country because I swear I don't know a place in Los Angeles where you could drop a bomb. Perhaps there's a museum somewhere. Perhaps you could. Perhaps you can head down to. I mean, you could head down to LACMA, blow it up on at noon on Thursday. Yes, go down to the campus of USC.
Yeah.
You get. You know, UCLA. Too many Asians. Go down to SC and blow that place up. Go down to LACMA around noon. Make sure there's not a field trip coming in from the inner city and blow that up.
There is. I've been to it a million times.
Yes,
all the
Terrace, you're hard-pressed to blow up
LA.
A spot in L.A. and get more white people than, and then fill in the blank, Mexican
than,
or Middle Eastern, whatever.
More than anybody, because we are not condensed. We're the second biggest population in the world, but New York is the first, and it is, or not in the world, but in the United States, New York is the most populated. And it's 2 miles by 4 miles, the whole place,
right.
Manhattan. Los Angeles County is hundreds of thousands of square meters or miles.
Oh, I know. Listen, turn on the very important traffic report that you hear every morning, kiddies, and hear about what's going on in Arleta at the DeVore Pass, and think to yourself, Jesus, I've lived here my whole goddamn life. I don't know where that is.
I was gonna say exactly
That's the point.
They
that's why we're
report.
Bad terrorists. And if you think about it, Danny's point is well taken, because after all, what is the World Trade Center? Well, that's just condensed population on top of each other going up 90 stories.
That is also for some reason for them, because I don't know why the Twin Towers represent the United States, but for some reason
it's a financial center.
Yeah, but I mean, there's a, they kept going for it till they got it. They wanted the World Trade Centers. We don't have one of those out here.
Right.
I've never lived in a city. You've worked Chicago, right?
No, I've just been there.
If you go to Chicago on the radio and you start like this, "Hi, I'm Danny Bonaduce. It is too cold here. And by the way, the Bears suck and the Bulls, they suck." That's it, your last day.
Really? Right.
That's your last day in Chicago. Right then and there. You go to LA, well, traffic sucks, our team sucks, everybody sucks, the air is all smoggy, and everybody will go, "Yeah. Right, yeah, it's cool."
No, I know.
We don't have that kind of thing here that they do in a lot of other cities. In New York, so that is what has become a symbol of America for terrorists for some reason, is those Twin Towers. The next one, if they don't want people, is going to be the Statue of Liberty or the Golden Gate Bridge.
Mm-hmm. If they're going for symbolic targets.
Yeah, not loss of life.
If they're going for people, they still got to go Manhattan.
If they want to get whitey, they should, I'd say, hit Kimmel's Football Sunday.
Well, I'd say it'd be the day the comedy died.
I'm going to write you a song.
Yes.
I feel like we ought to go through, I feel like we need to straighten up Europe and Africa and places like that and really go through and go, look, we don't care as much about the World Trade Center as you thought we did. We certainly don't like Hasselhoff. Europe, please.
Right.
Please.
Yeah,
I know you think he's a huge star
here.
Jerry Lee Lewis, we make fun of him. We don't think he's funny more. Like,
only the French think you're funny.
It's weird. It's weird with the Japanese. You know, going nuts for Elvis and stuff like that. Like, I feel like I'd like to be an ambassador, and I'd like to travel around the world explaining to the different cultures what we're really into.
Or what we're not. Here's what you guys, here's the news. I'm Ambassador Adam. Here's what we don't care about. I just go down the list of things they think are important.
Right. I'm going to Budokan.
Adam, have you been smoking?
First stop, Budokan.
No,
I'm kidding.
All right, I like Cheap Trick.
I play Budokan.
They're on my list of things I like. Come on, Brian.
Much more popular in Japan than they are here.
I played Budokan.
You have?
Yeah.
How do you play Budokan?
When you're a faking, lying, loser American and the Partridge Family plugs in.
Oh, that's right.
Is the Partridge Family...
filled it 3 nights in a row.
Is
three it
nights.
Popular?
I filled. We filled a stadium, I forget which one, 55,000 people three nights in a row. The Partridge Family was like retarded big.
Oh, yeah.
It was ridiculous.
Right.
Yeah.
But is it still popular abroad if you travel in Europe? Will people recognize
no,
it?
No, but, oh, yeah. But not like here. Like here, it's part of my everyday, it's my every 5 minutes if I'm on the street. But it's super positive things. Yeah, I like it. Unlike Adam, who gets, like, uncomfortable and weird because I don't know why he does. But he does.
Now,
this is a private person?
I don't get weird. I just, My plan in life is to make it through my day without stopping.
Yeah.
Like, I just want to walk,
oh,
and I don't want
to go to the mall with me.
I don't want to stop. I just want to. I just
like
want to keep
shark.
Walking.
Keep swimming.
You know what's weird? You know what it is? I guess what it is for me is people stopping me and going, "I recognize you," or "I like your show." doesn't mean that much for some stupid reason. I don't feel it.
Right.
So mm-hmm. because there's no upside, yeah. then the downside is stopping and taking a right. picture, and I just want to keep... I just want to keep trucking.
See,
but I don't get weird about it.
If somebody yeah. doesn't want to take my picture, I will wrestle them to the ground and make them take my photo.
You know what I get a lot lately, and I don't know how to feel about this. I get a lot of, I loved you on Trading Spaces, a show I was never on.
Oh, they don't. That's not, it's like, a slip of the tongue. People say Brady Bunch to me all the time. They call me Donnie Bonaducci, Danny Buttafuoco. Danny Buttafuoco's all the time.
Really?
Aren't you Donnie Buttafuoco?
I never correct people because I'm just
Me
happy they know me.
Me either. Buttafuoco, I used to.
Yeah,
I
that's insulting. Yeah,
because it's offensive, but then I never correct people.
On... And then I sometimes get, I love you on What Not to Wear.
Yeah, that's another
that.
Chick that
she never
you guys...
hosted it, but I'm living it at this
yes.
very moment.
Hey, Manjo!
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then Danny, of course, you have Danny Partridge and then Danny Bonaducci, which is already going to make people
it's pretty want
different. To say Partridge when they say Danny
right.
half
they
the time.
They say Brady a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
And you don't bother, you just go, thank you.
Yeah. Or if it's funny, because I like it. I did not work this hard. Cause you know what it is with me? We're Adam, flipped burgers, got funny, learned to work with his hands, somehow, I don't know his whole story, slipped into radio and has worked his way up to this position.
Yes.
Me, I got world famous where I was 10 and had to travel with bodyguards everywhere I went. And then I lived in a car in an alley. And I wanted it back so bad. And in a way, what have I had now? 4 talk shows? And this, I got it back.
You wanted it.
And I won it, and I've got time for anybody who wants to talk to me or write me or come to my house or bring me a trout. You just have at it because I got
grateful.
All the time in the world for you.
You have gratitude because you've had such highs and lows.
That makes me seem nicer than I am. What I've got is an ego the size of Wyoming. And if I can get all the way through a mall without being recognized, I'll go through again.
Your kids must love that. Daddy didn't get recognized at Hot Topic.
I don't think they... Oh, no, they love me there. I spent a fortune. But it's never happened that I've gone to a whole mall and not been recognized or anything like that. But my wife makes fun of me. She says, I told you this. She says, I'll get up in a movie theater and look around like I'm looking for somebody so everyone knows I'm there. It's not. I was actually looking for somebody. But I'm one of the few people I know who will say out loud, I like being famous. I didn't work this hard to be ignored. If you want to come up and say hi or anything at all that I can think of that doesn't hurt too bad, just come up and do it.
I like the perk part.
Yeah,
I do. I do like
free
the hey, you can do this. Yeah, yeah, the swag and all that.
We have no tables. Oh, Carole, yeah, we would be. Yeah.
I'm not
yeah.
famous enough to get any perks, but yesterday I got a box of toilet paper, and that's about as good as it gets.
Well, that's going to carry us into our next. So,
see how I did that, Adam?
Yes, that was good, but just quickly, you think earthquake
love.
Or terrorist attack? What do we have first?
Earthquake.
You want an answer right
yeah,
now?
Yeah, what do you think?
Terrorist attack.
Earthquake.
I'm going to keep my fingers crossed for earthquake.
First of all, you said major.
God,
major,
I like better.
Though.
Yeah,
major
hard to
attack.
Tell what major is, but...
Okay, do as many people die in the terrorist attack as die in the earthquake?
No.
Lots more property damage.
Well, yes.
Damage,
well, the thing about earthquakes is because we have building and safety and stuff out here and a lot of reinforced
right.
concrete...
Does one whole building fall down in the terrorist attack?
Well, you're right in the fact that the earthquake was claimed...
Because I commit a terrorist attack right now. You just go out and light some matches on the... Just spill a little gas on the floor and there. I've committed an act of terror.
You're right that the earthquake... Danny's right. I think we ought to keep our fingers crossed for the earthquake because the earthquake will kill 9 people
yeah.
max.
Right,
yeah.
right.
You're right. You're right.
Things
just
don't just fall
damage.
In that hole and die.
All right, God, if you're listening, let's go earthquake.
God, now, if you're listening, if you pick the right station, just listen to us. We'll straighten
it out. The toilet paper incident. You got a case of toilet paper sent to you yesterday.
An enormous case of probably 100 rolls of toilet paper sent to me by one of my many fans.
Right.
That's a great one.
And... We then talked to him on the phone, and there was an undercurrent of rage, or was that just me?
It was just you.
He seemed a little angry.
No, he was a little nervous, and he was trying to be funny, yeah. and you're funny, and you're quick-witted, and he's trying to keep up with you.
You don't know, just because people don't recognize you because you're on the radio, you don't know what a big celebrity you are. They just don't know it's you. When
That's
that
right.
guy knows it's you and calls in, it's a huge deal to him.
And he's nervous.
Yeah, well,
he's
was
nervous.
Very... His heart was in the right place, but he got confused and sent me toilet paper. This morning, I come in, and there's an enormous bouquet of flowers and calla lilies. There had to be 3 dozen mm-hmm. roses. Yeah.
At mm-hmm. this point, you have to go out with them or not. And now you have to just stop this or go. Right now.
But
now,
what
now
do I do with the toilet paper?
You did.
But what do you think?
Well, I'll tell you what we'll do with the toilet paper. We're going to give it away. That's right.
Can I keep the flowers?
Yes, you can keep the flowers. unless I got to go number two, because I am so pampered that I wipe my ass with
Calla Lily.
Well, depending on what's seasonal, I'm not going to make a stink about it. If I'm at a nice hotel and they only have chrysanthemums,
I'll tell you what, chrysanthemums. I did read on smokinggun.com where it has lists of people's demands, and yours was on there, and it said that you would not wipe with carnations.
No, I wipe my ass with rose petals mostly. Oh, actually, I have somebody do it, but the point is... Point is, we're going to give away this case of toilet paper.
It's excellent toilet paper.
We're going to give it away as a case or rolls at a time, signed by the homeowner.
I'll give the whole case away for the best crapped on story.
Ah.
Wow. That's what we're thinking about yesterday. If you have a story where, well, was it in a relationship we were talking about?
Somebody crapped on you, somebody left
you.
Oh, you
guys are making
this
much lighter than I thought it was.
We're talking about the Danny Thomas version of it.
Okay, I gotcha.
We're talking about the left at the altar. Best friend took up with your man, and they both split, and now they're both married. Whatever your crapped-on relationship story is, if we hear the best one at 866-901-ADAM, you will win a case of Tee's Pee.
It's enough.
1-866-901-ADAM.
Oh, what did I say?
You said it right. It's just I haven't worked here long enough, so I can tell on the way in how fast you say it. I don't always get it.
1-866-901-ADAM. And by the way, this is probably enough toilet paper, and it's excellent quality to keep you wiped for a year.
If you go through this case before, I would say... I'll say the over-under's the 15th of September. If you go through it before then, you got to go to the doctor because there's something going on. You're eating too much chili. We'll take a quick break. You call us back with your crapped-on stories after this.
Here's what's coming up on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Check it, peeps. We'll talk to former USC running back Petros Papadakis. Hey, someone put a sheet of plastic underneath sound guy Brian. We'll also hit you up with an American Idol recap. The Def Rock guy will be in studio. And we'll talk to singer-songwriter Jewel. These foolish games are tearing me apart. Jack Man, big fan of her music. But even bigger fan of her rack. Late.
Thanks, Jack. Adam Carolla with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser on The Adam Carolla Show.
Mm-hmm. Well, we want to know who to give this case of toilet paper away to. We want to know who's been crapped on. We'll figure it out. We'll blow through a few calls, and then we'll arrive at a conclusion. Tori?
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's happening, baby doll?
You know, I just want to tell you guys that I've been crapped on.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's
hear it.
All right. So I was with this girl for 7 years.
Mm-hmm.
I have been with her since I was 19. I'm now 26.
Lesbian relationship, yes.
Exactly.
All right.
So basically, I took care of this girl, made her my world. I paid for surgery, put her through school, got her a car, did everything I possibly could.
Mm-hmm.
Christmas
surgery.
Eve. Yeah. What kind of surgery?
Had the Birkenstocks removed?
No, actually, it was a knee surgery.
Bobby.
Knee surgery. Yeah.
Yeah. So, basically, I...
Shot-putting accident. What, skiing? What did she do?
No, it was basketball.
I was guessing softball.
We have WNBA, yeah.
Yeah, just about the same thing, yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so Christmas Eve, she goes out with some friends. I'm working graveyard, supporting her, right?
Mm-hmm.
She goes out with some friends. The following day, on Christmas Day, she told me, you know, she basically calls it off with me, tells me she's not happy, and, yeah, so the following day, the 26th, was supposed to be our 7-year anniversary.
So she dumps you on Christmas Eve or Christmas night. And you're working graveyard where?
I work for a police department. I'm a dispatcher.
Mm.
Oh, that's a tough job, isn't it?
Yeah, it can be, but it's fun.
You know what's unfair? Because Christmas Eve almost makes it even. But what's unfair is a lesbian being crapped on just doesn't break my heart. It just makes me curious.
Yes, there are fetish websites dedicated to that.
I didn't mean that way. I just meant it's harder to feel, you know, heartbroken for some girl that can just go out and get another chick.
No,
and
it's
make
not
my
that
whole...
easy to fall in love.
Oh,
am I right,
God.
Tori?
You're right. It's
Lesbos abound in this town.
What town are you calling from, Tori?
I'm in Anaheim.
And lesbian capital of the world.
Yeah. It was a lesbian Indian tribe, by the way. The Anaheims. Yes.
She was in love, and she was crapped on Christmas.
On Christmas is what gets it for me.
Cheap underwear? Has she been crapped on
we
enough?
We go to Dinah Shore Classic in Palm Desert.
Well, Chief Thunderbird thinks that you'll probably find somebody else if you take up golf.
Yeah, hey.
Do they golf for living people in Palm Springs ever?
I don't know. All right. Where were we?
We were seeing if anyone else was crapped on worse. Yeah. I think we should keep Tori on the line.
All right. It's a good solid five. Yeah. Not a bad start. Yeah. Bill? Yeah.
Hello?
Bill, you were crapped on in a relationship. How?
I was crapped on in a relationship. I had a wife of 25 years. We had two kids together. One day she went to work and didn't come home and left me with her 12-year-old daughter.
Please try your call again later.
Crappy phone line. Will you talk to Jason?
Jason, all right. Hold on a second, Bill. We'll see if that cell clears up for you. Jason is line two. Jason?
Hey, what's going on?
What's your story, buddy?
Well, I was in Iraq. My wife, I guess, had a fling with my dad. He wasn't in my life, but he didn't meet it.
Was she going to wire?
All right, all right. Let me think about this. Also, here's a quick question to pose to the jury. When your relationship breaks up, when your marriage breaks up, put Jason on hold for a second. That's just hypothetical. Yeah. I feel like when relationships break up after 6 months, like we were married for 6 months and then we got divorced, you shrug it off, right? It's like, all right. It's sort of like losing a child in the first trimester. It's like, ooh, that's bad. But it's not like 3-year-old Johnny was run over. I mean, that's devastating. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, you're on dangerous ground, I will tell you that, but I absolutely 100% agree.
I am saying that if you know a couple and they, hey, we're pregnant, and the next time you see him, yeah, Marsha lost the baby. It's sort of like, it's sad, but it's not the, we have a 3-year-old, where is he?
Name and
where is a little, and then he's gone. That's devastating.
For but the rest of your life, yeah.
Point is relationship-wise, I feel like if you're 6 months in and you're married, falls apart, people are like, all righty, well, all right. And then if you're 25 years in and the relationship breaks, then it's devastating. But where is that number where, what's the best or what's the worst? Like, I actually feel like when people break up after 30 years, I always think, all right, well, you guys had an ass full of each other.
They always seem resolved about it. Like, you know, we had a good 30 years, we had a good life, and then it just...
Right, so I guess what I'm saying, and I screwed it up, is 6 months, no big deal. Mm-hmm. 30 years, all right, you guys are going to spend the last 4 years of your life apart. Who cares? You've had an ass full of each other. Where's that one painful where you feel like, God, dog it? Yeah, I feel like somewhere around between the 7 and 11 mark where I feel sort of like, geez, that's smarts, buddy.
I'm going to go
I can
seven.
Tell you right now, yes. I know almost the exact date you stop getting an ass full of people. Mm. That also happens at a perfect time.
Right.
Like, little tricks they used to do, like, to get you to marry them, they stop around year three.
Uh-huh.
You mean the magic is sort of gone. Gone.
It wasn't magic. It was voluntarily, I'll do this. And now it's, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, there's the, you guys have been together long enough, I don't feel sorry for you. And then there's, you guys haven't been together long enough, I don't feel sorry for you. But then there's that somewhere, like I said, when you hear that, we were together for 8 years, she was the love of my life, I don't know how to function without her. Those are the ones I feel most sorry for.
Yeah,
now,
me too. I agree.
Let's see if Jason can count himself amongst those. Jason?
6 years.
6 years,
that's
good.
Right in
you're
there.
Right in there.
Yeah, you're playing.
And you go off to Iraq because you're a Marine?
No, Army.
Army. Mm-hmm. And you go off to Iraq, and your wife of 6 years is living with your family, or how does this work?
Yeah, she went back to stay with my mother, who raised me and stuff. And, you know, met up with my dad in a bar. Didn't know it was him until after I got back and told me it was over. And all the stuff, she'd met somebody who could take care of her.
Now, wait a second. Met up with your dad in a bar.
Didn't know it was him.
Did your dad know it was her?
No, he wasn't in my life. So
he hadn't seen
me since I was a young teenager.
Are you from a small town or something?
Yeah.
Okay. Are you from another planet where your parents never mention I have a son in Iraq?
Well, you know, small world, you know.
Okay, I'm sick of all your lies.
She wasn't talking about that stuff.
This is like a B story on the show Lost.
No, I understand she wasn't talking about it, but why wasn't your father talking about it?
Well, because he hadn't been around me. I don't even think at the time he knew I was still over there. So
you're such a liar.
He didn't talk to my mom. you know, like I said, he'd been married, let's see, 23 years before they got divorced.
Before him and your mom got divorced?
Yeah.
But how old were you when you joined the service? 18?
19, yeah.
So he knew you were in the service, and he knew you had your first tour in Iraq.
Yeah.
Hold on. Let's. I want to talk to the panel here.
Now, before we go any further, I've got to apologize to everybody.
Here's the deal. The only argument I'll make for Jason is that if a woman was attracted to him,
yes,
she may be attracted invisibly,
yes,
to whatever qualities dad had passed,
yeah,
down,
right,
to him. But the part where neither one of them brought it up, now
that's
she may not bring it up because,
right,
she might not want to say my...
She's lonely.
But I feel like dads that are trying to impress a chick at a bar... First thing they bring up in the conversation is, you know, I got a son over there.
Well,
in
wait
Iraq
a second.
Might
except
be the second thing after their matching last names.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe, though, he didn't want her to know how old he was, mm-hmm, so he didn't want to mention his 19-year-old
son. I don't know that
he
cared, but let's put it in a way that it is at least practical that it could happen, and that is the fact that I am old enough in my ridiculous sleeveless shirt and boots to be the father of a 25, 27-year-old guy.
Right.
No problem. I could be a grandfather by now. I'm 47.
Right.
I also could, just mostly because my occupation is in savings, date a 25-year-old girl. No problem.
That's right.
So this could, this could happen. If this guy took care of himself.
Oh, it's definitely mathematically possible.
No problem.
Jason?
Yes.
I may have boned your wife.
And then, well, you're going to get yourself a case of toilet paper. And some penicillin, if that's the case. So, Jason, she
like,
then,
do you think it is?
Then married.
She left him? What?
Funny.
What'd she do? She left you for your dad?
Well, she didn't leave me for no one in particular, but that is the cheating that caused us to
break up.
Well, now, how did you find out about this whole thing?
Well, she said she had met someone.
Mm-hmm.
So, after grilling her and, you know, tell me who it is, where'd you meet him? What's his name? You know, that's instantly when I was like, "You're kidding me! You're kidding."
And did you? And he gave his real name. Did you confront your father?
I just called him right there. Yeah.
And what did he talk to you?
What did he say?
He just said, "Yeah, I met a girl at the bar. I meet girls at the bars all the time. What's going on? I haven't talked to you in a long time. Blah blah blah. You know."
Goodbye.
All right, hold on.
Goodbye.
Excuse me. So. His dad goes all this time boffing his wife and doesn't know and doesn't say anything, but it's one of the first things out of his mouth when he sees his kid. There's holes in this story.
He was crapped on, but maybe unintentionally. Can we talk to Tina?
If I believe that, yes, he was in Iraq, he was crapped on because he had to go to Iraq and fight. It sucks,
I know,
though.
That would have been enough.
The pictures I get from Derek are horrifying.
I feel like we're getting crapped on. But here's the other thing, too.
I do, too. That's why let's move on.
Jason, I do believe Jason because he's so unanimated.
Yeah.
Yes, I think he's just a sort of flatliner, and that's his tone. And if he was lying, I feel like the story would be better. I sound like a broken record, but I feel like I walked in, I saw my dad's car parked in front of our house, so I thought he was just in there doing some handiwork. Well, when I walked in the bedroom, he was on top of, we fought it out in the living room. I feel like there'd be a story rather than, I called him, he answered the phone.
Well, I gotta tell you, if everybody was fascinating, we'd be pretty unemployed.
Thank you. Tina?
Yes, hi.
Tell us your story of woe. I got a case of Charmin. It's burning a hole in my pocket.
Tell us the story of how you stop horses.
Oh, I was with my boyfriend for 4 years, and we moved into an apartment together. Mm-hmm. And after a year, I found out that he had been screwing the apartment owner's daughter downstairs the whole time we lived there.
Mm-hmm.
And to make the story worse, I ended up moving out after that, and we were still kind of screwing around. I found out I was pregnant, and now he's denying his child because he was... As soon as I moved out, he started dating her and moved in with her.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So yeah. How old is the child? Has the child been born?
No, I'm 8 months pregnant right now.
Oh.
So you're going to need that toilet paper to sop up the tears.
Tina, how are you feeling?
In the whiz. Yes.
I'm feeling okay. I'm heartbroken, but, you know, I've tried to fight with him to get a paternity test, but he's denying her. He's actually moved out of state to avoid me.
Perfect.
I was going to say there are
How
laws.
Are you going to support the baby?
On toilet paper sales.
What does Tina do?
I am a marketing and research assistant for a market research company.
And what's he do? Some form of construction?
Yes, that's correct.
Thank you, Adam.
Yes.
I know the guys who hump people in apartment buildings and then split when people get pregnant.
I don't like this guy.
Yeah. I don't either.
I don't like this
guy. Why did you get back with him after he cheated on you, Tina?
Well, we weren't really broken. I was kind of just trying to hang on.
We were on a break. Ross and Rachel?
I was trying to hang on, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
Look.
Ended up getting pregnant.
Does he work around metal? What's he do?
He's a glazer.
Yeah, I know. I know, but what does he do for a living?
Puts glass in.
Yeah. Well, do you know if you're having a boy or a girl?
I'm having a girl.
What are you going to name her?
Stripper.
Kiana. No.
What do you name her?
Kiana.
Hey, everybody. Listen, you got your keys on you. Here comes Kiana. She'll put a coat of glaze. Get out your caulking gun, everybody.
Well, I don't know about you guys, but I would like Tina to have my toilet paper.
I would too.
Okay, well, then I think that it's semi-unanimous.
Yes, Tina, you're getting the toilet paper, baby.
She was
doll.
Really crapped on.
Yeah, although I would say you dodged a bullet with this guy.
Yeah, you're better off without him.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, probably. You're probably right.
So basically what you guys are saying is this improved your life, so here's a prize.
Yeah.
Well,
but,
she still has to raise a baby.
But she's still pregnant. She's 8 months in. She's living in an apartment, right?
Yeah, I got my own place now.
Okay. And, you know,
the guy that dumped her is a glazer. That's a lot.
He left the state.
Michael Glazer, that guy from Starsky and Hutch.
Maybe it's a topic for later, but... Something I figured out, like, if my son turns 18 and I realize he hasn't gotten laid and he's a little bit awkward and he's not much with the ladies, I'm going to drop him off at a crappy apartment building because a crappy apartment building, I learned this from growing up. I had a few friends. I, thank God, dodged the crappy apartment building. I was only in a crappy apartment building for a couple of years when my folks first got divorced, but we had...
Oh, I didn't know your folks got divorced.
We had a really crappy second house to kind of flop in. My grandmother bought, for some reason, my grandmother bought a house for like literally $10,000 in like 1952 in North Hollywood and rented it out to some horrible people and swore she'd never... rent it out again, and the good news is everyone in the family became such a loser that we all just flopped there.
I meant to do that.
And then it became one of these places where she's not getting rent, so she's not going to paint the place or mow the lawn. We're all depressed and just living there, so we're not going to paint the place or mow the lawn either. And then it just became the barn, as my friend Ray used to refer to it. But we all just lived there. Eventually, we got into some crappy apartments for a little before other crappy houses were purchased. But I had friends who lived in apartment buildings. In North Hollywood, especially in parts of town now. If you live in an apartment building that is essentially in the projects, well, then maybe you just stay locked up in your unit all the time. And if you stay in a high-end apartment building in Beverly Hills, well, then maybe there's just a bunch of rich people who don't feel like mowing their own lawn.
It's hard to
living there.
Rich people.
But if you find the right apartment building, it is a bunch of single moms with teenage children. Now, what happened is they were married for 12 years. They got divorced. The guy moved out. They couldn't afford the mortgage on the house. Next thing you know, there's a 16-year-old daughter and a 17-year-old son or a 13-year-old daughter and a 15-year-old son, and they're all living. Now, times 30 families all living on a footprint the size of what a normal house would be in. So what happens? Well, all the moms go away to work, or the dads, or whoever. Everyone splits for work. Now you have a bunch of 15-year-old kids from broken families who have self-esteem issues.
Unsupervised.
That are living in units where they actually can, they're actually facing each other through a 10-foot courtyard. I mean, you literally open your kitchen window, and you're looking at a 14-year-old chick who has to pay back daddy. And who has issues with daddy right across there. Well, the next thing you know, folks are coming home at 6 o'clock at night. You're off school at 2:30 or 3. We're smoking a little weed. I had a buddy who he had sex with everybody in the building. He had sex with the mom and the sister and the daughter.
I did that once.
He had the mom, the sister, and the daughter of a team.
That'd be
yes.
me.
You've never done that?
No, I had
just
a mom and a daughter, but in the same night.
Wow. How did that happen? Briefly, because we got to go to break.
I was 15 years old. We were at home. We were doing it in a room. It was 2 o'clock in the morning. I got hungry. Went out to the kitchen. There was Mom. She said, I hanged in her room. That's the quick version.
Nice. Where's this magical kitchen?
Dude, really? You haven't been famous your whole life. Different stuff has happened to me.
No kidding. Point is these apartment buildings, it's Sodom and Gomorrah going on over here, and nobody really knows about it because it's a little bit of a secret. And when you're in the single-family dwellings, well, you have your family, and then you go off to school, and you pass people in the hall in the sobering light of day. But there's none of that, all you hanging out in detention, essentially, with kids that are screwed up because the family unit has been destroyed.
Now, there are...
acting out sexually and using drugs.
Adult versions of that where it is known you should be single to move into, let's say, at my time, I don't think so anymore, the Oakwoods.
Yeah. Right.
The Oakwoods during my day... with single people around the pool, around the weight room, around this, around that. You went there, you moved there to just get the sex.
Mm.
And on the other thing about my kid being 16, it might be awkward. I'll just take care of that.
Oh, dude, really?
Dude, come here. We're going to go someplace.
Oh, I thought you meant you.
No,
you would take care of
me. Me too, and I was disturbed.
But, I knew when I said that.
Go to the closet and get Daddy the isotoners. I'm going to take care of it.
We're going to go down to this old place I know, baby, and take care of your problem.
Get the Nivea, the isotoners, and the Kleenex. Oh, no, go Bronny. Go Bronny.
Wow, Bronny, you have some faith in my boy.
Yeah, it's been a while. We need to take a break. We'll get into this apartment thing at some point, maybe later on, because I really do feel like it's a little dirty secret that no one really talks about. Mm-hmm. Also, when we come back, I think we'll do What Can't Adam Complain About?
Nice.
Should we do that?
Yeah.
All right. A round of What Can't Adam Complain About? You call in, you tell me things you don't think I can complain about, and oh, believe you me, I will. And then the news with Teresa Strasser. So next, 866-901-ADAM, What Can't Adam Complain About?
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for a spirited round of What Can't Adam Complain About?
What can't I complain about?
A steak dinner.
Every goddamn steakhouse has their own take on what medium versus medium rare is versus whatever is. You know, you go to Arnie Morton's and they're like, okay, so how do you want that steak? And you go, make it medium. And they go, our medium is more like a rare. Your medium? Why do you need your own goddamn medium? I don't want your medium. I want my goddamn medium. That is the problem.
Call 866-901-ADAM. Now back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show.
Mm. Yeah, you know, when we were doing that, I remember that one, and I was trying to come up with prime rib.
And you couldn't do it? I
was saying brisket or something, but prime rib is the cut, is the one cut of meat and the steak and whatever, where once you get your heart set on it, it is hard to pry that beating heart off of it. You know, you'll do that thing where you go to the restaurant and they go, you know, what do you think? And then someone will go, how about prime rib? And you go, that's how I know we were meant to eat meat, because it's a visceral reaction.
And plus our teeth are shaped to eat meat.
But the prime rib part will get you. The steak is great and the meat is great and all that's great. But the prime rib part that's the succulent one. That's the one with the fat and the blood and everything. And we get that prime rib, and it's happened to me probably 5 times just with prime rib, because that... there's something in the preparation of it where the chick goes, all right, prime rib. And you go, yeah, give me the end cut. And I like it all greasy and burn on the outside and pink on the inside. And she goes, all right. Oh, and some extra horseradish. I love that
horseradish. The real horseradish, not horsey sauce.
You know what? So give me the horseradish and the creamy stuff and both, and I'll mix them. Yeah. Oh, this is going to be great. Then the chick comes back 18 minutes later, and she's like, oh, you know what? We're out of the prime rib. And you're like... I want to cry, but I have to, I should get the next 10 meals here for free.
Absolutely.
I am devastated.
If you have your dreams dashed against the rocks of despair at a business that does business with you, 10 meals seems nothing. My daughter eats and orders like this, which I don't appreciate. If she wants it rare, she should want it rare. I still say she's just showing off. But she's 12 and she orders like this. I'd like the New York steak bloody rare, please.
Wow.
I don't know kids that even eat it rare, let alone bloody rare.
I wouldn't eat meat
prime,
when I was a kid and
prime
still don't.
Rib, she won't eat fat.
Mm-hmm.
And primer's got that whole thing going on in the center.
Yeah. Yes.
You know how long it takes daddy to cut up a prime rib so the crazy 12-year-old goth girl can eat it?
All right, where the hell were we?
Complaining.
Ah, yeah. That's right. That's right.
Stuff. The world is full of it. And one man has a complaint for it all. This is What Can't Adam Complain About?
All right, let's start with Bob. Bob, what can I complain about?
Sleeping in on a Saturday morning.
It's hard to complain about sleeping in on a Saturday morning. First off, I sleep with two sleep enablers. My wife will go till noon if I let her, and my dog Molly, I actually think, has been flash frozen and stuffed because I haven't seen her move her eyelids in like 4 months. My dog Molly's a sleeping mascot. You know how they have dogs and they have therapeutic dogs and they have dogs that help people with Down syndrome and dogs that answer the phone and dogs, but their dogs are sort of emotional mascots. They help people with depression and whatever. If you have trouble sleeping, I'll send my dog Molly over to your house.
I'll just fix it right up.
You will see my dog Molly first stretched out on her back doing that big, long, kind of Snoopy. Yawn. You'll start yawning just looking at my dog. Then once you feel the weight and the slow breath of the dog, and then every about hour and a half, the dog does one of these.
Like it's done something.
Yes, like, and it really, my dog tips over and feels like 2,000 pounds of gravel just falling over, just in a sack, just right there. And my wife does nothing but saw logs. So I, who have to get up at 4:30 every morning, get to look at these two slumbering away. I can literally see Z's coming out of both of their mouths and forming a giant Z in the middle of the room as I drag my sorry ass into the kitchen to begin complaining on this radio show. But on the weekend, on Saturday, I go until 10 o'clock, sometimes 10:15, and I always have the same thought when I wake up at 10:08, look at the clock, and then look at the sky. I think, my God, Ace, you've slept past the time you've gotten off work Monday.
Nice.
Which will be fantastic because I do it on a Saturday, then I do it on a Sunday, and then come Monday morning, I get up 6 hours earlier, which is equivalent to you people have normal jobs sleeping on the weekend until 5:30 in the afternoon.
Right.
Both days.
Yeah.
I'm essentially a drug addict even though I'm up before noon.
Nicely done.
Thank you.
I didn't think you were going to get out of that.
It's not easy to get me to complain about sleeping.
No, I couldn't see the end coming on that, and then I got it.
Nate?
Yeah.
Let's go. What can I complain about?
You can't complain about a nice bottle of wine.
Well,
sure. A crappy bottle would give you a really bad hangover, but a nice bottle.
It would seem tough at first glance. First off, the whole corkage thing we were talking about, restaurants. We don't have this product. We know you enjoy this product. We don't have a license to sell this product. But if you'd like to bring some wine in to enjoy with the meal that you're going to pay for, well, that's fine. We're just going to charge you $20 to take the goddamn cork out of it. This corkage thing is a ridiculous thing I don't think we should have ever signed off on. If you got wine, fine. We'll buy your wine. If you don't have wine, we love wine so much we'll bring our own wine. Don't charge us to pull the cork out of the thing. So corkage, number one. Number two, I become a slave to red wine. I never touched a drop of red wine before my 35th birthday, swear to Christ. But now, it's my medicine. I can't live without it. I really can. I drink a couple glasses every night before I go to bed, and if I can't get at it, I will kill a drifter to get at his red wine. It doesn't matter.
That's
so true. I become a slave. And the thing about red wine, which is a weird thing, and most things that spawn addiction don't work this way. It's mild, but it's powerful.
Yeah.
Meaning, it's not heroin, and it's not speed, and it's not an 8-ball, and it's not coke, and it's not gonna ruin your life, but you will not go a night without it, and that's the way I feel about it. Plus, you wake up the next morning, and it's like you've been eating novelty gum. You ever get that thing where your teeth are just black from drinking the red wine the night before? Right.
It's true.
That's right.
It stains your teeth.
Yeah, good complaint.
All right, and the wine I like the best, the Coppola stuff.
It's good.
And I was expecting to think, well, this is just some Hollywood guy with some sort of, this is a novelty, whatever. It is the best
black
stuff.
Black label.
Yes.
That's a big deal.
Black label, black teeth.
Very nice. By the way, a lot of the people around here should remember I used to own a restaurant named Fiorini on Laurel Canyon in Ventura.
Oh, yes.
And we charged the corkage fee.
Oh, yeah.
Now, how much? How did the corkage work?
You know what? I had
right?
nothing to do with the running of that place. I would go in every now and then and go, hi, I'm Danny. I own this place.
Yeah, they charge you if you want to bring in dessert,
and,
too,
and I would serve
for the
you.
Plates.
No, we'd make dessert, man.
I hate that.
We made dessert.
They lost their cannoli license.
That's
Chris.
Close enough.
What's going on, Adam?
What's happening, my brother? What can I complain about?
A great tasting roach coach.
Mmm. Yeah, they honk that horn. They come pulling up.
I don't know how you're going to do it.
The only thing I miss about construction is hearing that sound. Because you know what? You decide. In the rest of the world, you decide when you're going to take your lunch. But in construction, it's when the bitch and the coach honks the horn. That's who tells you when it's time to eat lunch. Could be 11:30. Could be 12:30 the next day. Could be 1 in the afternoon. You don't move until you hear... Then you drop whatever you got because the clock started and it's nice. Yeah, as a matter of fact, I wouldn't mind if life worked that way. The corporate world, you know, you're right in the middle of a big board meeting. You're just sitting there. You're passing graphs and charts around. Oh, no, sorry. We have the shareholders. They're on conference call. They're in Tokyo, right? I don't care. Now get me some chimichangas.
Closest thing to a fire drill in school.
Right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, everyone just drops their bags. Everyone undoes their belts. You hear all the bags fall onto the unfinished plywood floor, and everyone hustles out to the thing. Now, I do love the Roach Coach, but I will say this about it. The Roach Coach is no cheaper than eating at a diner restaurant.
No.
It is the same price, which is weird. You think you're eating something... This restaurant has wheels on it, and there's a heavy-set guy from Nicaragua who's serving you your food, and yet it is the exact same price. As a matter of fact, you could go down the street to the diner or go to the Denny's or go to the Carl's Jr. and save yourself a couple of bucks. So I love the horn. I love the greasy food. I love the fact that there's definitely a felon preparing your food. I mean, that guy's done some hard goddamn time. He's not establishing eye contact with anybody who works there. But the fact... that it's $6 for a burrito, and I can go down to a good place and get a burrito for $5. Well, that's what I can complain about. All right, one more.
You got to go to a guy with a teardrop tattooed right here.
Yes.
Because that means he killed a guy.
Or he's... Yeah. Or...
He's Paul Yachty.
He's cut too much onion.
Yeah. He's either that or Paul Yachty.
Joe?
Hey, man, it's Webmaster Billy.
Webmaster Billy.
What's wrong with his name? Phone screener Kyle, your name was Joe.
Yeah, I know. Well, because every time I tell him that it's me, he won't let me on the air.
And he can't recognize that 18-year-old lisp you're giving him?
How would he not recognize this?
I know everyone despises Billy.
Wow.
Billy, how have you been?
I've been pretty good, but Adam, I don't think you can complain about underwear.
All right. All right, ex-webmaster Billy. Underwear? Well, I might be able to do that right now by just checking my sweatpants. Let me check the ones I'm wearing here. Yes! Yes, thank you. I'm standing up. Now, I'm gonna roll over toward Danny and T.
Okay.
I'm
going to
show you the underpants with the tag in the front.
Yeah, that's weird.
Now.
Wait, did I miss something? Are they on backwards?
They're on forward. The person who made these underpants decided the tag would look good in the front, which means I put them on backwards every morning and then roll them around again and put them on forward. But this brings us to a bigger topic, which is tags in general. Tags always should have been in front. They shouldn't have been in back, because there's that thing all the time when you're out shopping and the lady,
right,
you're at the Gap, and it's like, what size jeans do you want? And it's like, I think I'm a 34, 30, 32, 30. Now you're trying to bend yourself into a pretzel. Jesus, I can't read. Honey, could somebody help me read my pants, please? I can't get to the label part of my pants. Why do you put the label of the pants the one place the eyeballs can't get to? And it's the same with shirts. You know, you do that thing where it's like, what do I wear? Yo, you're wearing a jacket. I've choked myself out. I'm tapping out. Right. So you can't get to the label. They put the label in the place you can't find it. So put it in front. But. Once we decided it was in back, once we signed off on the horrible idea of putting the label in back, then it must stay there.
It must stay, absolutely.
Because I bought a chub pack. I mean, I bought a pack that came on a pallet. I bought a pallet of underpants.
Oh, yeah.
It came in like a bale. I clicked the baling wire, it exploded. It mushroomed out at like 4,000 pounds.
pair of underwear. So now in my underwear drawer, I have 50 pair with the label in back and 50 with the label in front. And at 4:46 in the morning with the red wine hangover, I grab them, I put them on, and then it's like, oh, Christ, this feels weird.
Now, women might not know this because we wear boxers, or I wear something like boxers. And you would think they make no big difference, frontwards or backwards. They do. You have to wear them the right way.
I took a half a step and fell over on my face. Right. Cannot move them. So, labels, underpants, in back. They should have been in front. They should have all been in front. But now that we've established this, it's really like the left-hand drive of a car. Maybe it would have been smarter to put it on the right side. Doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Somebody decided 110 years ago the left is where it shall be. I'm currently, I talk about it more, but I'm in litigation with the company.
I've never seen anything like that on the front. It just seems like you're lying to me that those are on backwards.
No, we're looking right at them.
No, I believe you, but if you guys could see it.
I will show you. The vitamin whiz stains. Make my point. I'm sorry, Chief. All right, that's what I can complain about.
Impressive.
Well done.
Thank you.
That was What Can't Adam Complain About?
Thank you, T.
Yes.
Hey, one thing I can't complain about, you and the news, baby doll, what's coming up in it?
Oh, Scott Baio is shopping a new tell-all book, and I couldn't possibly exaggerate to you the number of bizarre things that are in this book, including some things that happened right there on the Cunningham's couch.
Dude, I've known Scott my whole life. You wouldn't believe the quality.
We are going to discuss that.
We inducted him into the Man Show Hall of Fame about 5 years ago for just this. He has nailed everything with blonde hair.
Yes.
I think Leif Garrett's ass is still sore just because Scott said, sorry, you're blonde, I ain't gay, but rules are rules.
Well, it's the 70s.
Yes. You're hot and you're blonde.
You were made for dancing. I was made for love.
Yes. Well, there are new revelations, if you can believe that. We'll also talk about some controversy surrounding Dakota Fanning, and also
he got her too.
No.
You're in Hollywood and you're blonde. Rules are rules.
And also Rosie O'Donnell.
One of those Gerber twins. I don't want to discuss it.
That's right.
Rosie O'Donnell calling for Bush's impeachment. All that and more.
Ooh. All right. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late-breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
Saturday at a wedding reception in Ohio, the stepfather of the bride stabbed the bride's father.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed.
Yes.
Make and be with the news, baby doll.
Brandi Norwood was involved in a car accident on December 30th in Los Angeles. This is just coming out. It was broken by entertainment site TMZ.com. The car accident was fatal.
Hold on, Brandi. Brandi. Brandi Norwood is one of these people where when you put her last name on...
Yeah, I lost her.
It's confusing, yeah. Brandi.
I was thinking because you put her last name, that meant it wasn't her.
I believe she was Moesha.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. There was somebody. Somebody you mentioned yesterday whose last name made them more confusing. Later in the show, you said the full name of somebody. Damn, I can't think if it was a celebrity or if it was an inventor or a philosopher or something like that. Well, anyway.
It'll come to me. Well, okay. Here's the story with Brandi. She was driving her 2007 Land Rover 60 miles an hour down the 405 when she either failed to notice or was unable to stop for a line of cars which had slowed down in front of her. And unfortunately, she plowed into a 2005 Toyota, and there was a fatality on the scene. Brandi was not arrested. There's no evidence she was under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Police are investigating. Now, criminally, I don't believe she can be charged, but civilly, she may be charged with negligence if the family chooses
something to. Something for sure. You rear-end a person and somebody dies. First of all, if you're rear-ended, it's their fault. That's all there is to it.
Right.
It's like also the guy making the left turn. It's his fault. That's that.
Right.
So if somebody dies because you crashed into the back of somebody else, you're going to get sued.
I am surprised this stuff doesn't happen more often because a lot of folks poking around town in 7,000 pounds worth of SUV.
Yeah.
Once in a while, I'll drive my Mini Cooper out and about, and I'll pull up next to a Hummer or Expedition or something like that. And I think to myself, if this car hit me, it would physically go over me.
Right.
It's not like, well, it just weighs 5,000 pounds more. And man, when you get mass traveling at 60 miles an hour, or even 20 miles an hour, and something weighs 5,000 pounds more. I mean, when you look at the NFL, you have a 110-pound guy go up against a 250-pound guy, it's massive.
There's certain physics that don't work out.
Right, that's a huge difference. When you have Brandy in her 7,000-pound Land Rover hitting you in your 2,200-pound Toyota, you got a problem, and I'm surprised it doesn't even happen more.
Well, I don't know about you, but psychologically, I think I would rather die in an accident than cause a fatal accident.
Not
I don't think I could live
with
that.
For a second. A grandma and her kids right through the window dead, as long as I'm okay.
I feel like that would be the most atrocious feeling ever to have to live with.
I do too, yeah. Walking around with that.
Yeah, pick one. And this Adam Carolla dead or a pedestrian you didn't mean to hit dead.
Walking around dead.
Well, what if I told you
feeling?
This? The woman who died was a 38-year-old mother.
I'm terribly sorry. I'm just, you know, if you come down to it, and anybody else that says different, I don't necessarily believe. Better her than me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. Let's talk about entertainment news.
Mm-hmm.
That was entertainment news.
Rosie O'Donnell is back in the news.
Somebody rear-ended her and died?
No, actually. She was talking about President Bush's State of the Union address, and if you'll recall, the president pointed to some of the heroes in the galley, including Wesley Autry, the subway hero who saved the 19-year-old who was having some sort of seizure on the train tracks. Well, here is Rosie O'Donnell talking to that. Pay special attention to how little she lets Elizabeth Hasselbeck speak.
Mm. I think it's interesting, too, that he wants to hail this hero in New York, who is obviously a great man, who saved a stranger's life, one man's life worth it. But he sends 20,000 new Americans over to die in Iraq. What is the difference between...
Okay,
3,000 are dead in America, 3,000 Americans who, if they were on a subway station, he would hail their surviving.
Okay, then she went on to say something very controversial. This.
Do you know what I think the Congress should do? And this, I'm sure, will make me in some sort of celebrity feud or AOL poll. But someone, I believe, should call for the impeachment of George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
There you have it.
Yes, okay. Sends them to die.
Yeah.
I feel bad
that's
for
his plan.
Elizabeth Hasselbeck. Well, actually, I only feel bad for the 1 hour a day she has to sit next to Rosie. The other 23, right. She lives a charmed life.
Yes.
She's hot. She's married to an NFL quarterback.
Exactly.
Makes a ton of money.
That's okay.
But you really, I watch that show now because my wife forces me to on Saturday mornings when we sleep in until noon. And I realize what zeros everyone else is on that show. Rosie, I don't agree with her politics most of the time. I don't like her most of the time, but she brings something to the table.
Yes.
Yeah.
Meredith Vieira, I mean, what's the...
Joy Behar.
Joy Behar. She just sits back like a sniper from the Catskills.
But, you know, she didn't. She used to... I disagree with Rosie all the time, and I call for her impeachment. I'm sick of her.
Yes.
Really?
I like to say this now. I've had an assful.
Wait a second. It's an impacted assful. If the, you know, that's what Adam said.
It hasn't gotten that bad yet.
Yes.
I've had an assful of Rosie O'Donnell. But I will tell you, you turn on that TV show, and it's the Rosie O'Donnell show with some other chicks watching.
Right.
She sucks it in, and she does that.
Well,
show.
Ratings are up 24%. So something is
Barbara's
compelling.
Barbara's an old zero.
Yeah.
Elizabeth is just sort of a willowy chick who can't really get her story straight. And Joy Behar is just sort of a schmaltzy Catskills comedian, tries to shove one in. It never seems to fit very well. And then there's Rosie.
Exactly. Now let's talk about Dakota Fanning. She is 12 years old, and she's in a new movie called Hound Dog, which includes...
Bayo got her.
A very...
Many years ago.
He has not.
Many years ago.
It includes a very controversial scene in which she gets raped. Now, from what I understand about the scene, all you see is her bare shoulders and her head, and then you see her eyes looking up. Here's what Dakota had to say.
Not once while we were filming or reading the script did anyone think it was controversial, and I still don't.
Well, she's been playing a kid in movies since the mid-80s.
I said this
time she become a woman.
I was.
She's really been working. She's the only one I know who's 12 who's been working for 27 years.
I told you this the other day. That Entertainment Weekly voted her the most powerful woman in Hollywood. That she can get a picture greenlighted faster than Julia Roberts.
Wow.
But That's not what they say about the clip when I was on CNN. I was on CNN asking about child stars.
Right.
You know, there are certain things. Child stars are getting arrested. Everybody calls me.
Right.
So, it's totally true. When those guys were here the other day, it's because somebody got arrested.
Well, listen, when Dakota Fanning gets arrested, you're the man.
No, it's when Dakota Fanning's a child star and is this right for a child? They call me. And I, what they said about the scene was, it's vicious and horrifying to watch. Mm. They don't say all you see is. Everybody that has seen it, and there were some experts, there were people from the set on CNN with me that said it's horrifying. It's violent, and she's throwing around.
Well, I obviously have not seen the movie, but that would be very disturbing. I'd be interested because I know you have a daughter around that age, and she's an actress. Would you let her do this movie?
She's an actress in the sense that she did a McDonald's commercial and a Grounded for Life.
That's
she's done
more
those
than
two
eight.
Things. She's got her college education is sitting in a bank account somewhere, which is growing because I don't need it. So she'd get just to sit there. She probably has 50 grand, maybe.
Oh, really? Yeah. And the thing I like about Danny is he says that his daughter's moderately talented in the acting department, which I like because let's face it, everyone doesn't have a superstar
in
the next bedroom.
That's exactly right. So my daughter, if she were on a set and I said, okay, this strange man, you're just doing acting, don't worry. You're not going to get hurt, don't worry. He's going to come up and rip your shirt off and throw you down on the bed and grab you. Just don't worry about it. Well, my daughter would be in a mental hospital in about a minute.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she wouldn't understand that. But Dakota Fanning.
I think she lives
Does anybody else remember Taxi Driver and Jodie Foster?
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, does anybody remember Little Darling or Pretty Baby with 10-year-old Brooke Shields stark naked?
Yeah. And she was
okay.
She was a prostitute, but she wasn't being raped.
It was a simpler time.
Do you remember the scene, what they said right in front of her that you could do to her?
Pretty Baby?
No, in
Taxi Driver?
Yeah, that was I remember the protests. So I think she'll be fine.
Okay, right. well, here's something disturbing. Some disturbing sexual things that happened to Scott Baio. He's shopping a new book.
Sorry, Scott.
And the title is Baywatch, How I Dated and Loved Hollywood's Most Beautiful Women. Baywatch. How I Dated and Loved Hollywood's Most Beautiful Women and Ended Up Alone. Now, here are just a few tidbits that have been leaked out from the book that he's shopping. You probably know this much. Some of his conquests include Heather Locklear, Pamela Anderson, and, of course, Erin Moran, who played Chachi on Happy Days.
He had to throw in an ugly one.
Yeah, keep
she
it real.
Cute. She was cute.
Hideous.
At the time,
oh
she
my
was
gosh.
Cute.
She was hit in the face with a bat.
No, not when she was 16.
Yeah, she was hideous.
Well, here's what happened. Here is how Scott Baio.
A fruit bat, by the way. Not, it actually tacked her face.
The bite.
Scott Baio actually says yes. Says that he lost his virginity to Erin Moran on the set of Happy Days when he was 16.
Oh,
and here's
please,
how
that's everyone's
it.
Story.
Yeah.
Listen, this is a quote.
I lost my virginity to Posse.
Raise your hand. Look, every guy knows hand is up. Kyle's hands. And we all, if you lost your virginity to Erin Moran on the sofa of Happy Days, please, thank you.
You can't change her last name from Nation. Kate
poured up. Bill's got his hand up in that. Please.
Listen,
that was Ralph Mouth.
Mrs. C sat on that sofa.
Did you get that, Mrs. C? Does that say enough?
Okay, here's his quote. This is Scott Baio. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to say after we got naked. So for the first 5 minutes, maybe less, hell, it might have been the first 20 seconds, I'm doing it and thinking, man, this is really uncomfortable. What happened was, my thing was between the cushions on the couch, and I didn't even know it. Instead of being inside Erin, I was humping a corduroy sofa.
Wow. Then he flipped her over and got her in the A. Arnold.
Let's not even start with Pinky Tuscadero.
Oh, no.
Now He talks about being in Tiger Beat, which I imagine, Danny, you were in.
10,000 times.
And he said that it whips girls into a frenzy when you're in Tiger Beat.
Yeah, I had some of the stuff done. I got a friend that's got a Mac with the iPhoto on it. I just had my head put on the front of Tiger Beat. It was about 6 months ago, but I'd walk around and let it hang out of my pocket.
Right. Here's a story about I'm going to be very careful here because it's going to be difficult for me to explain this. But
I bet I can make something stupid out of it.
A girl sent him a pair of underwear after he appeared in Tiger Beat, and the girl wanted her essence to be on this underwear. Ooh. So she didn't. She peed, and then also it was her time. Then she ran a mile, and then she sent him her underwear.
Shit put in the effort. They call that sweat effort or sweat equity.
He made a tea out of it. Now he owns her.
Good boy.
Her soul.
As if that's not enough. Yeah, probably. As if that's not enough, he also claims that Liza Minnelli once asked him for some of his manly essence so that she could mother his child. She told him he's a good-looking Italian guy with talent, and so are you, Danny.
Yes, sir.
And she had planned to take his sperm and her egg and put it in someone else's body.
Mm, same hair. I got to say this, fellas, if you're listening, look to your right. Now look to your left. If there's a woman standing there, Bayo nailed her at some point in the late 80s, early 90s. Yes. You got my mom, my sister, my wife. He got everybody in my family.
Hold on.
Has
he gotten
fantasy?
Has he gotten Molly the dog?
I saw his car parked in front of my house when I was leaving, so I couldn't find Molly. So yes, who's your fantasy?
Out of all that with Heather Locklear and all that, my fantasy.
Yes,
Morgan Fairchild. I almost said Morgan Freeman.
She's a MILF.
Yeah,
she's still a MILF. I just saw her for the first time.
He got her too.
Yeah, I believe
so. Wow, have you had any women in common?
But I've had hundreds of common women.
Wait a second.
I don't think it's mathematically possible that these two could live in the same terrain
and not have
hump
had
as
sex,
many people as you guys
and
have
do
humped.
Do you know Scott Baio?
Very well.
Can you get him on the phone, do you think, later on the show?
I can get him on the show later on the show in the week.
Wah, wah, wah. I feel like that one never caught on. How did the pitch go for that one? This character in our sitcom, you know what he does? He goes... Wah, wah, wah.
It's not exactly dynamite.
It's no Shazbot.
It's no, what you talking about, Willis?
Okay. Wah, wah, wah.
Well, also, American Idol was on last night from New York City, and we're going to have a lot more on that. But for now, I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
Well, coming up next, we turn to politics. Controversial author. Now, I think it's Dinesh D'Souza.
Dinesh D'Souza.
Right. Who's written some pretty controversial things about this country and terrorism and was, as we learned yesterday off the air, on the night that Bill Maher sort of crossed the line with the coward's remark and the hero's remark and got thrown off a PI and so on and so forth. So we'll talk some politics and some terrorism and some patriotism and all that next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show. And now, an editorial from Slippery Slope Guy. Today's topic, gay marriage.
Should a gay couple be afforded the same rights and privileges as a straight couple? Sure. But it's a slippery slope. The next thing you know, these guys want to marry a donkey. Or a shoe buffer, or a vending machine, or a taxidermied buffalo. And there's not a damn thing you can do about it.
That was Slippery Slope Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
All right. Well, speaking of politics, Dinesh D'Souza... is on the phone now.
I'm a little thrown, you know, on this. I know a great deal about this guy, and on paper, I agree with almost everything he says.
Mm-hmm.
But in context, in the umbrella form, I'm not sure how tolerant he is of other people.
Well, he has a book called The Enemy at Home, The Cultural Left and Its Responsibility for 9/11, meaning... the reason the rest of the world is mad at us, or at least the Arab world, is we're so loose with our morals.
Right.
We were asking for it.
We want guys getting married. We're all atheists over here. We're into smoking weed, not beating our old ladies up. Thus, we need to be punished.
Right.
I feel like with most religions, same with the... with the Muslims, what they do is they sit around and they see us having our fun over here in Vegas and everything as well. They take a look at what Scott Baio's up to on Happy Day. So fun. They go, do not worry. Allah will punish him. And then they sit around and they see Baio banging another blonde and they go, do not worry. Allah will punish him. And then they see Baio banging another blonde and they go, do not worry. And it's just a matter of moments before Baio feels the swift sword of Allah's justice across his neck. Then about the 35th broad he bangs that week, they go, screw it, I'm blowing him up.
Because they only get 77 chicks for blowing themselves up. Right. Bayo's had hundreds of chicks, and he's still young.
At a certain point, when they realize this party seems to never end,
they go, F it,
we're going to end the party. Right. Allah doesn't seem to be getting off his ass.
By the way, 77 virgins sounds like a terrible day.
Dinesh?
Did you ever leave one tramp?
Dinesh D'Souza?
I'm glad to be on your show, guys.
We're glad,
we're glad you're here.
We're glad to have you. Now, you're born in India.
Right.
Let's see. Reported to have dated Ann Coulter. Is that true?
A long time ago.
Wow.
Wow. How was that?
Well, she was crazy then, and she's crazier now.
But was she crazy in bed?
Hey, stop that. Now, listen, guys, you're getting me wrong in your description.
Are.
I mean, you're right about the radical Muslims, but you're getting me totally wrong.
All right, well, let's hear it.
Yeah.
See, look, we're trying to understand something that has happened in the last couple of decades. You know, in the 1940s and 50s, America was very popular in the Muslim world, and very popular in the traditional world. If you go to India, for example, or South America, lots of people wanted to be like America. And now we find, from all the surveys, this sort of volcano of anti-Americanism. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're trying to understand. Now, here's the weird thing. If you go to Europe and you ask people in Europe, why don't you like America? They basically say, well, you got this, you know, cowboy in the White House who shoots first and asks questions later. You've got these wacky religious fundamentalists running around. So the Europeans look at America and they tend to see, you can say, right-wing America, red America.
Mm-hmm.
Then you go to the Muslim world and you find a guy strapping bullets on his chest or whatever, and you say, hey, why don't you like America? And he goes, oh, you know, you got this disgusting culture and its values. You got gay marriage. You got the family breakdown. So the Muslim is looking and seeing, you may say, blue America.
Mm-hmm.
So my point is not that either of them are right.
Right.
You're getting two distorted pictures of America. But what
right.
I'm saying is that, in a sense, the projection of American values abroad is bringing a kind of a backlash, a blowback from the traditional world.
Well, it's an interesting point that Europe looks at it, Western Europe at least, looks at us very differently than the Muslim world, and they pick the worst that we have to offer
right.
on either pole, and they both focus on it. That's a very interesting point
yeah.
that I never thought about. But don't you think, you know, when people say, the rest of the world hates us. I hear this from a lot of my Hollywood lefty friends. They hate us. Well, first off, don't all the fat chicks hate the thin cheerleader?
Right.
Isn't that just how it's always going to work?
Super interesting way to break that down immediately.
Should we try and change ourselves so they hate us less?
No. They don't want us to change. They want to be us.
They want to lose 50 pounds and get on the cheerleading squad.
They want to get that hot burka off their face in the middle of the friggin' desert.
Right.
Put on some miniskirts and go out dancing. They won't admit that that's what they want to do because their boyfriend, the mule owner, will beat them with a stick.
Is that about right, Dinesh?
There is a molecule of truth there, guys. Look, I think it's true that there is a powerful current of envy in unsuccessful cultures. They envy American affluence, they envy American technology, and so on.
Yes.
But you have to realize that even in countries like China and India, which are galloping ahead economically,
galloping.
The big slogan now is modernization without westernization. And what they're basically saying is, gee, you know, we want your technology, we want your money, we want the affluence and success of the West, but also we want to keep out some of the values of the West that we think are undermining the values we believe. Now, look, guys, outside of Europe and America, most of the world is pretty traditional. This is not just the Muslim world. This is South America, it's Africa, it's Southeast Asia, it is the Middle East, it's India. These cultures are patriarchal. Male is the head of the household. They're quite religious. And they value things like honor, childhood, innocence, virginity, and so on. So what I'm saying is, when they see...
I'm sorry, when was the last time you were in Southeast Asia and they were admiring youth between the time they were selling their children into slavery?
No, they've got a whole industry, a whole sex trade in Thailand and so on. I was in Singapore 3 weeks ago. But my point is this.
Did you see Jack Silver, our program director there? Because he said he had a tour.
The point I'm making is that here in America, we see some of the things in our popular culture, and some of them are, look, I'm a parent of a 12-year-old, some of them are a bit much, but we know there's a big difference between some of that stuff out there and the way Americans live.
I agree.
But my point is the ordinary Muslim on the street of Islamabad or Cairo, they see some of this stuff, and they don't know it's not the real America. In some ways, it is a fantasy America, and so the radical Muslims are able to say, see, America is the leader of the unbelievers. America is all for promiscuity and so on. If we let this America in, we know it's appealing because we know it comes with the allure of success and so on, but it's going to ruin your family, corrupt your belief in God, you know, erode the innocence of your children. So what I'm saying is,
yes.
I'm not trying to convince the radical Muslims, but there are a lot of traditional Muslims out there who are decent guys, and they are being seduced by the radicals. So what I'm saying is, by being a little aware of the fact that that there are elements of American culture that are being used as evidence against us, we can have a public diplomacy that thwarts that. Well, I'm not saying we should change our way of life.
Well, how do we... A couple of questions. First off, you know, 50 years ago, if you would have talked to people in Europe and said one day you'll have a currency that is the same everywhere you go, meaning the euro, they probably would have laughed it off. I feel like that has become a microcosm of what the world is going to be in 50 years.
Possibly.
It is just a world market. At a certain point, we used to be able to be over here. We're here with our culture. You're over there with your culture. Now with the internet and jet flights and all that kind of stuff, eventually
culture.
We're just going to, as a globe, I feel like going to have to get on the same page. Because forget about 50 years from now. How about 300 years from now? How about 1,000 years from now? We'll just all be one big world market, and we're going to have to agree on a few things. What's good, what's bad, what's up, and what's down. So where do you think we're heading, and then what can we do to get them to quit hating us so much?
Well, the first thing I think, you know, there is a foreign policy dimension to this book, The Enemy at Home, and if I can just say one word about that, this isn't just a debate about culture. The reason I think that the Iraq situation is important is this, and that is that in the Middle East right now, you only have two types of regimes. You have essentially Islamic tyranny, which you basically have in Iran, the rule of the mullahs, and then you have secular tyranny, which you see, for example, in Syria with Assad, or in Egypt, or in Saudi Arabia. So the Muslim has a depressing choice. Either I take Islamic tyranny or secular tyranny. Now, in Iraq, at least we are trying to put a third card on the table, which is Muslim democracy. And if it takes root, it's a hard thing to plant. But if it takes root, then the traditional Muslims have an alternative to the two forms of tyranny that they currently have. So this is why, despite all the problems, I think Bush is trying to do something noble, and I do admire his unbelievable persistence and ability to absorb political pain.
Yeah.
So I'd like to see that work over there. I think it will give those people a decent life and also contribute to our own security.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I'm saying is not to change our culture, but look, why doesn't Bush show the rest of the world in his speeches, in our public diplomacy, in all the TV stations we own and support in Iraq and Iran, show them the other America. Show them traditional America, the guys who work like dogs and support their families and go to church and live by traditional values.
I'm sorry, can I interrupt you and ask you a question? What parts of America should we be hiding?
Well, look, if I turn on
Rosie
the TV,
O'Donnell's
I came
parts.
To America.
Yes.
I came to America for freedom and opportunity. You know, I love Vegas. My wife loves your show. You know, we love America. But what I'm saying is, if I turn on the television, I see a different America than the one I live in. I never see anyone go to church. Frankly, if I see two people having sex on TV, they're never married, or at least not to each other.
Right.
So this is not the real America. We have an America where, quite frankly, between the coasts, most people live a pretty traditional life.
I know what he's talking about? He's talking about truck commercials. He's talking about John Cougar, Mellencamp, banging away, a guy sitting there petting a hunting dog in slow motion, then helping his kid up after he got thrown off a Bronco. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You picture one of those Chevy, John Cougar, Mellencamp, Chevy truck commercial, any Bob Seger, any truck commercial at all, that's what the America we're trying to portray.
Any feminine product that they might need.
Yes, well, Dinesh, you sound like a very measured and intelligent guy. Are you, except for the Ann Coulter thing, are you against...
Hold on, guy's carrying a saddle in slow motion right now. Now he's got a truck full of hunting dogs, a few puppies, and a few white kids.
And a dead hooker in the back. This guy's right.
I want to know if Dinesh is against gay marriage.
Look, I'm a tolerant guy.
Look, please,
you know, I come out of a very...
Yeah.
You know,
yes.
I've lived on the East Coast, and now I live in California. You know, I come out of a very tolerant tradition. I don't know.
But those facts can burn in hell.
No. I think that gays have a right to live their lives the way they want. I'm a little unsure whether society should stamp the marriage stamp of approval. I'm a little unsure about that. So I believe in tolerance. I'm not sure I believe in substance.
Well, what can we do? And can I ask this, Dinesh D'Souza, by the way, who's the author of The Enemy at Home? And knows more about this stuff than we'll know. But I was thinking this morning as I was watching my CNN and drinking my coffee, I was thinking, you know, what's going on as far as the radical Muslim extremism that's going on in the world now, feels to me a lot like...
This is why they hate us, Adam.
A lot like what went on with communism, which is there is a belief system and a brand of government that is vying to take over, and it's against our belief system and our brand of government. And what we're trying to do is, when we see it spreading out, we're trying to go to those places where it's getting a foothold, and we're trying to say no. By bombing them, we're trying to say, no, it was in Vietnam when I was just a very little kid, but it happened in Korea. It was happening. That's what happened. There was communism.
Communism coming down to the 37th parallel.
And there was us, and we said, this is wrong, this is bad, and if the lion's share of this planet becomes this, we are screwed, so we need to deploy some troops and do something about it and stop this. And the rest of the world sort of sat around and said, yeah, sure, they built the wall through the middle of Germany, and they put all the scared poor people on one side of it. That's communism. And then they put all the free prosperous right. people on this side, and then they shoot the people that are trying to get to the happy side, which is our side. But you know what? We'll not do anything about it. And as a matter of fact, when Reagan said, oh, by the way, I think this is evil, everyone went, oh my God, how can you say that about a regime that builds a wall and then shoots people that try to get to the freedom side? It was evil. It was wrong. History has proven that out. Aren't we going to have the same thing with this? And if so, why can't we get the rest of the world off their ass? Didn't they learn their lesson with communism 20 years ago?
Well, the short answer is no. Yeah. They haven't learned. And we're seeing the same thing again. I mean, in a way, this is even more serious because in communism, we were fighting these surrogate battles of Vietnam and the Sandinistas,
and
Cuba.
The French were
and some
there
of
before
that, honestly,
us.
Looking back on it, we, you know, didn't matter that much. But look, the radical Muslims.
But the rest of the world would not join us in judgment.
Okay.
Why
That's
didn't
right.
Europe say, you know what? Europe, we're right in the middle of Europe. There's a wall going through Germany, and they're shooting people. They're trying to get to their side. Can't somebody stand up and go, maybe this is wrong? Maybe
look,
these are bad
isn't
people?
That what Reagan did? Didn't Reagan say, Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall?
Reagan did, but nobody in Europe gave a rat's ass about
well,
it.
Well, because Europe's full of pussies.
Europeans are decadent, and I mean that not in the moral sense, but they're decadent in the sense that they have lost confidence in their own civilization. They're not even having enough kids to replace themselves. They're only replacing
Good.
Themselves with Muslims who are coming into their culture and ultimately becoming the swing vote. So Europe is being Islamicized.
All right, here's what happened in Europe. First of all, here's what happens in Europe. The French really hate us, which is interesting because without us, they'd be goose-stepping around the Eiffel Tower right now. And the same with the British would be, you know, all speaking German if it wasn't for us in World War II. They all wanted America to come a-running. And then when we came a-running, England was okay for us, but the French were a friggin' nightmare. So they're... Most Europeans that hate us hate themselves for being cowards. As for the Muslim extremists, I believe they just want to stop their youth from being like us because the streets are paved with gold and you still have to drive the ox cart to get your hay. That's
right.
What they're upset at.
Well, it's also a terrible battle of power. Look, the radical Muslims control Iran, and they have for a generation now, but they haven't been able to export that Khomeini revolution. One reason for that is that Iran is a Shia country, and most of the Muslims in the world are Sunni. So I believe that they are very eager to get their hands on Iraq, and they themselves have said that if they do, they will next target Egypt and Saudi Arabia.
Is their belief in Allah so weak that they think their youth can come over here and the great power of Allah will be crushed and they'll go disco dancing on Quaaludes?
I think that's true. They fear
freedom.
Well,
then have a little more faith in your God. If you're willing to shoot me for him, have a little faith in him.
I think that there is a deep insecurity, not only in a religious sense, but also in a civilizational sense. Because, see, Islam used to be a great civilization, but now it's plummeted to such a miserable point that if you took away oil, the Islamic world would join sub-Saharan Africa as the least relevant part of the globe.
Well, let's talk about oil for a second. So first off, backtracking, this is somewhat analogous to the whole communism thing that we lived through some years ago.
Yes, it is, but with the key difference that the communist struggle was sort of within Western civilization, right? Marx was a dead white male, and basically communism and capitalism were two competing systems to see which can make us rich faster. Mm. And then that debate's over. Capitalism won.
Right.
So that's finished.
Right. Now, this is our next battle that we have to wage on a different front. But what about oil? If tomorrow we just shut the spigot off, if somehow I came up with an invention between now and noon tomorrow that required all cars to run off spittle, then would that be it? I mean, would they just plummet? Would they go away? Would they blow away? What would happen to that region of the world if we said we no longer need your crude oil?
It is true that we are in a devil's bargain over there. See, we do need the oil for the foreseeable future. That's why we tend to support the secular dictators who are in there. And the radical Muslims say we are preventing them from establishing an Islamic society. So, yes, if there wasn't the oil, frankly, we wouldn't be over there. People say to me, isn't it true we're in the Middle East just for oil? And I go, sure. Why
right.
else would we
but
be
what,
over there?
What would happen to that part of the world if we stopped depending on their oil?
Look, oil has been weirdly, not only in a way, dependent for us, it's the worst thing that ever happened to those guys. And the reason is Islam historically was a trading society. They were very entrepreneurial people. Mm-hmm. Oil you can think of as a massive welfare state. Oil is basically this money flowing out of the ground as it made that whole civilization lazy, inert, producing nothing. So you take away the oil and those guys will be, quite frankly, flat on their butts.
Would that be the greatest strategic move? I mean, forget about troop deployments and C-130 gunships. Would the greatest military move we could do would be to stop the dependence on that oil?
That is absolutely the case. However, it may be a few decades before we get there. And so the argument is over how we deal with this in the interim.
All right. But if that's the greatest and most arguably sort of patriotic move we could do, I mean, strategically, if the smartest move we could make is lessen our dependency on their product, we could have started this 30 years ago in this country. It seems like we got on it about 6 months ago when a few documentaries came out, but we've turned a blind eye to a problem that we've realized has been staring us in the face for the last 25 years. Whose fault is that?
There's 300 million Americans.
That's in our national culture. America's, you know, an impatient country. For a long time, all we were studying was the Soviet Union. All that people were majoring in was Sovietology and learning Russian. Suddenly, after 9/11, people are now studying Farsi and Urdu and Arabic. But it's going to be 10 years before we have a competent group of people who really understand the Muslim world.
Yeah,
so, yeah, we're getting very late onto the bandwagon.
Am I not correct here when I say most Arabs don't speak the same Arabic?
Well, that's true, and even in the Arab world, there's a, you know, first of all,
I come
from India. There are 200 million Muslims in India, almost as many as in the Middle East put together. So the Muslim world is a vast place with a lot of different cultures.
No, he comes from a place with a billion people, and he's a nuclear power.
Dinesh D'Souza, let me ask you this, author of The Enemy at Home, but what I'm saying is as it pertains to the oil, don't you think we could have made greater strides in this country over the last 20 years or even the last 3 years if every time somebody said, hey, how about we make the EPA mileage minimum 21 miles a gallon, and it got shot down by the president or Congress or whoever because they're in the hip pocket of the oil company because of special interest groups. Don't you think we're to blame for all this?
I think we are indirectly. I mean, look, I grew up in a country where people who are much poorer pay $6 or $7 for oil, and this was 15 years ago.
Right.
So it's true, oil has spoiled them in the Muslim world. It's also spoiled us. Because when you have cheap oil, you don't need to look for other alternatives that may cost a lot to invest in, a lot to develop.
Yes.
So I think now we're waking up to all this and seeing this not just as an economic priority, but as a national security priority.
If Brandy was on a moped, that woman would still be alive in the Toyota.
I'm going to make sure that I'm clear on this. When was the last time you called home to India?
Well, I was
literally
I was in India visiting my family about a month and a half ago.
I talked to India last night because I have a Dell computer and it broke.
Okay, that way, yeah.
So I had to call a number. The guy had a local area code, and the guy said, "Hello, my name is Bob." I know your name's not Bob.
You're in India.
Hey, don't disparage my relatives. They're making a good living over there.
Yeah, but that's my point exactly.
His dad
in China.
Answered the phone.
And in China, too.
My son is not Dinesh.
These guys.
Your son did not write the book of the enemy of Batum.
You can call him
Dennis. I have the same accent. I'm just speaking to you through a voice phone.
So my point is that India is just an incredible, like, what a racetrack I'd like to
hold
get on.
Hold on, I recognize this voice. Is this Danny Partridge?
I was huge in India.
Was he huge in India, Dinesh?
Pardon me?
Was the Partridge family big in India?
My whole family... I didn't hear you very clearly.
The show The Partridge Family, yes. Was that big in India?
Well, you know, when I left India in the late 1970s, and at that time there was I Love Lucy, there was all the Leave It to Beaver, there was the Partridge Family, all that stuff was playing in India.
I love you, so what am I sure?
You guys have so degenerated.
Can I ask a question for Dinesh? Dinesh, who's, I think, I like a lot of his points, even though I don't agree with some of his politics. You dated Ann Coulter. Would you ever date a liberal who was pro-choice?
Look, I am happily married with a 12-year-old daughter, so these questions have now been taken off the table.
If you weren't married and you didn't have any chicks, would you sleep with any really hot American chick, no matter what she believed? Me too.
I think it would be discrimination to feel any other way.
Yes.
That's a patriot.
That's a patriot.
Dinesh D'Souza, thank you. I found this interesting. Yes, let's just show them the truck commercials.
Yeah.
Cowboys walking in slow motion and guys getting up and dusting themselves off and then getting right in the back of the rig.
No, he makes a good point. A lot of Americans go to church every Sunday.
Slow motion welding. That's what they need.
Tonight.
Welding in slow motion.
See, that's what I love about America. Difference of opinions are tolerant.
You know one reason?
The truck in slow motion, I say just shoot a bunch of them.
Right.
You know, that it's very nice.
I say
and
let's
tolerant.
Build a bridge of understanding.
See, very nice.
But here's
and
one,
I say cover it in landmines.
Here's one reason why some other countries probably hate us. A little show called American Idol.
Ah, yes. Dinesh, thank you much. The book, The Enemy at Home. Would be funny if his dad didn't answer the phone.
Your dad is broken like Bonaducci. Sundays, get on the line. It's Bonaducci.
They were, word the way I mean it, they were whizzes. They got me through the weirdest hard. My computer did stuff. They said, now do this special and then give me a real code. And my computer would, like, know it was talking to me, but telling me to do crazy ass stuff. And I know I'm talking to India.
I always like this one. Is it plugged in?
That's always the first
thank
question.
Thank you for insulting me.
But
thank
half
you.
The
now
time
the plug's
not.
Up my ass. Thank you. Thank you.
That
you're
doesn't
right.
Work.
You're right. I have a light bulb in my mouth like Uncle Fester.
did you have a Quaalude in the hard drive?
Yes, how do I go? No.
All right. Yes, idle talk.
Yes, take a listen to this.
I'm unique! Woo!
She could not sing, and then she had a complete and total meltdown.
Perfect.
I will play that for you, as well as recapping. As well as recapping the other highs and lows, of which there were many from last night's Idol.
All right, so Idol Roundup next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show with Danny Bonaducci and Teresa Strasser.
I've been up, I've been down, take my word, I've been around.
That is four no's, so thank you.
All right.
Okay. Now another American Idol recap on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, indeed. I must say, I know I sound like a broken record with this, but when I found out next week they're going to be in Mississippi to have more retards on parade.
Alabama.
I just thought, really? Can you please just narrow it down, get to Hollywood, and let me pick my horse and try to ride it to the finish line?
I'm with you, although last night's episode was excellent.
Mm.
And I'll tell you why.
Why?
There's a new trend where people sing and they get rejected, and then they plead their own case. Mm. And in one particular situation, it was surreal. Mm-hmm. It was magical.
Now, pleading their case in front of
the jury.
Because sometimes they plead their case in the hall. And then I like when they just start going, I'm sorry, that was your dream, the impossible dream. They just jump right back into the next song.
Now they do it in the room, and I hadn't noticed this.
You know
as
what
much.
It's the equivalent of?
It's a production note, though. They're doing it on purpose, but they said, here's the new deal.
Well,
we're going to do this.
It was removed by security last night, actually.
Perfect.
So I don't know.
It is the equivalent, I was thinking, when they start singing another horrible song immediately when they're telling them they're being rejected. It's if you sat down to eat. Somebody took a spoonful of the worst macaroni and cheese in the world and put it in front of you. You took a bite and you start projectile vomiting, going, "This is horrible!" And they put another scoop,
no,
and you went,
try it again.
"Please, no more!" And they put a third scoop. I tasted this; it is horrible.
Right.
And as long as it's coming out of the same hopper, I ain't interested.
Well, let me play a little bit of Ashanti Johnson. Interesting story about her. She made it to Hollywood not once but twice already. She came back for a third time, having worked very, very hard. And you figure she's made it to Hollywood twice; she's got to be pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
And here's.
She made the cut the last couple
the last
of years.
Two
now,
years.
Is it 100?
I think it's about 100 people that
trip?
Go to, about 100 that go to Hollywood. Here's Ashanti singing.
Loving you, I see your soul come shining through. And every time that I do, the more I'm in love with you.
Now, as you can hear, she's not a
Minnie Riperton.
Not a bad singer.
Hold on, I like this part. I like the doodin' doodin' doo doo.
Here she goes.
Here it goes.
Oh!
What happened to Rhino?
That's for you.
All right.
That's up there with Midnight at the Oasis.
Well,
that's
my favorite song. She actually sort of hits the note, but the judges had this to say.
Simon, you don't understand.
I do.
You don't.
I do.
You don't. I have fought so hard for this.
No, Ashanti, with the greatest respect, you've taken already two spots in Hollywood. It didn't work out then.
But how was my intonation? How was my timing? How was my pitch? Was anything wrong?
Intonation was okay.
Great. The problem was you didn't get your voice together.
They pretty clearly didn't like her, but she wasn't ready to leave. Here she is again.
I don't know how to say this, but I feel it. And I know that you know what I'm talking about. And I know that you know that I can
Brian,
do
Brian, quit
this.
Playing the piano.
That is not sound effects, guy. That's from the idol.
And I know that you know what it's like to struggle with your weight and to struggle with your music. And I have waited and I have worked harder than anybody.
You think she's done? No.
Anybody out there. And every time I got more and more encouragement from you, and I've taken it, and I've internalized it, and I have fought harder than I ever thought I was even capable of fighting. And I understand your position, but I really, in the depths of my soul, believe that you don't have this right.
This is right.
I'm laughing because somewhere there's a guy at home who's waiting for her to get through with the speech so we can nail her. But while she's giving that speech about her life and her goals, he's like, oh, yeah, sweetie, now take your pants off. By the way, Minnie Riverton's
daughter is Maya Rudolph.
From Saturday Night Live.
Yeah, she's also a great singer.
And
and
died of cancer.
She died
like
very young.
38
really
or something.
Young.
Yeah, she had a spectacular voice. Now, speaking of somebody who doesn't have a spectacular voice, Sarah Goldberg throws down some pretty unfortunate vocals.
Cause I'm dreaming of you tonight till tomorrow. I'll be holding you tight. And there's nowhere in the world I'd rather be than here in my room, dreaming about you and me.
She then explains that despite the fact that she can't sing, she should still be the next American Idol.
Mm.
My friends make fun of me all the time because I'm tone deaf. But shut up.
It's true.
I don't need to hear you say it. I know it. Even if I don't sing, I can be the next American Idol.
Why?
And you want to know why?
Yeah, I'd love to know why.
You want
to
know why?
Yeah.
Because I've never sung before. And so you can teach me how to sing. I practice with, like, music. I can't believe I'm crying this much.
Yeah, you know, there's a fundamental problem we have in this country, I guess the world, but I think especially this country, which is everybody born almost by definition is a narcissist.
Yeah.
Some little bigger than others. Bayo, I think you know who I'm talking about. But others, just the fact that you are you makes you at least this much of a narcissist.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
The problem is you now share a country with 300 million narcissist in the sense that why not I? But then there's a math problem. There's millions right. of you, and there's only one American Idol. There's right. millions of you. There's only one quarterback for the NFL. There's millions of you and whatever. Now, the thing I love about sports is sports knocks you out. Sports says you can't, you cannot dunk a basketball. You get your ass kicked. You go on the football field. You get your ass kicked. You go into the boxing ring. You get your ass kicked. And there's nothing you can do. There's right. no such thing as a guy who thinks he can box who can't box because he's dead.
Who ends up looking like Billy Joel after three fights.
Right. And in football, there's a combine. You can objectively measure how fast somebody runs.
Right. Oh. We will take you and you'll not get to play. And that's the pure of sports, but we don't have that in the other forms of entertainment. We don't have it in comedy. We don't have it in singing. We certainly don't have it in acting. We do have it in modeling because it's like, hey, fat ass, get out of the way. We got a hottie coming down the ramp. That's how it works. So this is really America at its worst.
Well, there was a highlight.
I'm sorry, real quick. This was the plot, if you will, of Searching for America with Albert Brooks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When he fell asleep and his wife lost all his money.
Lost in America.
When he went down to say, be the casino that gave the money back.
That's
It'll
right.
be great.
The Desert Inn has heart.
I can't sing, but I should be the next American Idol.
Well, hold on. Let me get to an inspiring story. This fellow, Nicolas Pedro, I don't know if you remember him. He went to Hollywood season 5, and then he bowed out of the show because he could not remember the lyrics to the song Buttercup. And it was really sad because you could tell he had a nice voice, and he just couldn't remember. He'd stayed up all night. He shows up again, and you're not quite sure what to expect. Here's Nicolas Pedro trying again to make a comeback.
Fly me to the moon and let me sing among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand.
The judges liked him. There was a guest judge, a songwriter named Carol Bayer Sager. Here's what the judges had to say.
Carol, yes or no?
I think you're wonderful.
Thank you.
I take that as a yes?
Yes.
Randy?
Yes. It was good. It was good, dude. It was good.
Thank you very much.
I loved your voice before, and I love it even more today.
Thank you. Oh.
Yes.
You just made it back.
She got $25,000 per syllable.
Let me play you one last clip. This is a girl named Julie Furman. She describes herself as a psychic. You can tell by the jangling bangles that you'll hear during her singing. Those are bracelets.
Oh.
Apparently, she couldn't have predicted that she was going to sound like this. I just wrote a check to the Taliban. That's why they hate us.
Yes, she was mentally deranged.
Wow.
Yeah. I saw her. Yes, she was clinically insane. But again, for fans of the show, just 8 more weeks and 30 more cities of mentally deranged people before we narrow it down to the 200 that make it out here.
You were asking earlier, why not just bring them out there? Don't they do it for the hysteria they cause in Minnesota? And
yes,
now where they know they have a billion people that are going to watch
just saying,
in Minnesota.
You could do Minnesota, Chicago, and Mississippi, and you could do them all in one 2-hour episode.
Right.
Narrow down the top 100 and then begin the competition. Not the part where you have the retards on parade.
Why did you just go Cajun?
I don't know what happened
Adam
to me.
Sandler
that was really weird.
Showed up. You're channeling him.
I channeled Sandler. Well, nice report, baby
Thank
doll.
Thank you.
We'll be watching, even though we hate ourselves for it.
Yep.
We need to take ourselves a break. Ah, good news. Def Frat Guy.
Oh.
Yeah.
Not coming into the studio. Will be coming into the studio, not next. I think what we'll do is we'll get to some unfinished business from yesterday. As promised, I said I was going to do the custom
strip
club DJ announcer. I ended up doing a special one for Danny's beautiful wife, Gretchen, but I didn't get to the rest of you all, and I feel bad because we had a full bank of phone calls, and yet
I didn't get to one of you. So I am going to make amends next. 866-901-ADAM. You call up. You give us your occupation and your name and your hobbies and the kind of car you drive and the name of your dog or whatever you want. I will turn it into a custom stripper call next on the Adam Carolla Show.
It's the Adam Carolla Show, and now, Adam explains to 1780s guy, strip clubs.
Does it not vex the gentleman to have his purse emptied and his balls made blue?
What? Yeah.
That was Adam Explains Strip Clubs to 1780s guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Well,
I'm with 1780s guy on that one.
Yeah, I know. I feel like I'm going to have tough time explaining that to different cultures, especially when $20 buys you a weekend, not a lap dance, but a weekend with a girl.
Yeah, you rub my shoulder, we have to have sex. This is the law.
It's funny, my old partner, Dr. Drew, a man of passion himself, used to say he didn't go into strip clubs for that reason. Not because he didn't like strip clubs, but once you got his motor started.
Really? He couldn't backtrack.
There are guys out there. Ladies think guys are all just sort of horny and that's it.
I used to think that. We're all the same horny.
There are levels of horny. Yeah,
I didn't know
that. Every woman knows this. Guys have very differing sex drives. Yeah.
Right.
Well, if all guys want to get laid, if that's what all guys want, and you grow up being told men only want one thing, how do you know that one guy wants
experience
it so bad?
Experience teaches you other, because I've had boyfriends that are not all that interested, and some that that's all they're interested in.
There's twice a month, and then there's Scott Baio.
Exactly.
That's twice a day and in both ears. Point is there's some guys who don't want to go to a strip club because once they get started, they need to finish.
And that was Dr. Drew?
Well, he was so passionate, and also so passionate about being pee-whipped, by the way, for him and for a lot of guys, it's almost a form of torture. It's like saying, "Hey, you're starving, you're hungry, right? Let's go to the Caesar's buffet. You can put your nose against the sneeze guard of the salad bar.
You can't touch any food.
Right.
Well, let me ask
Let's have a big 8-ball put in front of you. You can't snort me.
If you do, just get nutty and reach out and try to grab a piece of ham. A huge black man will wrestle you to the ground.
Well, let me ask you this before you get to your custom strip songs, which everyone loves, because some girlfriends and I were sitting around discussing this, and we did not know the answer. But if you do get a lap dance or you go to a strip club, what do you complete there? Do you go home? What do you do?
if a girl gives you a lap dance,
I honestly don't know.
In a private room, and she undoes anything, she's not actually giving you a lap dance anymore. It just appears that she's grinding on you and she's actually having sex with you.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Mm. So some people actually have sex, but if it's just a plain lap dance, you just get excited and then go home?
Well, I'll tell you.
Theoretically, and do it with your wife.
I'll break this into two parts. First off, yes, I have many answers to that one question and some that I didn't know about until recently. So I'll tell you what. Because we're running late anyway, I want to discuss this for a couple of beats. Then we'll go to break, and when we come back, I will do the strip club announcer. But let's talk about the strip club in
etiquette. Yes, this will lead up to the announcer.
I was shocked and dismayed to find out, I won't mention any names, but I was shocked and dismayed to find out that, yes, guys do finish Booker Mike August.
You mean in their pants, sitting right there?
Yeah.
I pray it's their pants, because if it's my pants, I'm pissed. Yes, there are guys, and an alarmingly high percentage of them, because if you would have asked me before I met this group that did, I would have said, 0.0%.
I don't know, so I said zero.
No, I would say that, now again, you're choosing from the pool of guys who go to strip clubs, thus it's a higher percentage of guys who can finish in their pants, but I was shocked and alarmed to meet quite a few guys in my adult life that went to a strip club and could finish via a lap dance.
I would do that then.
Multiple times.
What? More than one in a night?
That's right.
Intentionally or by accident?
Intentionally.
That's their purpose.
You know.
Yes.
I went to Buffalo a few weeks ago to host this thing. They gave me a lot of money. I wouldn't have done it. To go and host the world's biggest disco.
It was just one of those crazy, stupid things they do in some little town. So I went, and I knew people were going to be wearing their 70s disco. It's like a costume party where girls get to be as scantily dressed as possible.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And I was such a nervous wreck about losing my life and losing my marriage and losing everything I have over this. I watched pay-per-view, if you know what I'm saying.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
7 times between the time I woke up and by the time I had an appearance that night.
To get it out of your system.
And I just called for the biggest guy that worked for me, and I said, never get away from me. Don't stand any further away from me than 3 feet.
Because women are that tempting to you.
You don't have any idea.
Plus,
I could never explain it in a million years.
I can tell you from doing a lot of traveling, there's something about that hotel room that makes you want to double down.
I know.
In the pleasure department, pleasure on yourself, that is. I don't know what it is, and then the mind reels when you think about how many people are in this room before you were doing God knows what you're doing to yourself right now.
In that exact spot. Or you wouldn't have picked it.
Why? That's why there's an orange X on the floor.
Does your wife, Lynette, mind
two footprints.
Does Lynette mind if you go to strip clubs, or does she take it in stride?
She's all right with me going to strip clubs. Some women mind more. Some women mind for a good reason. And maybe if you're Dr. Drew's wife or you're Danny Bonaducci's wife, you should mind because these men are very passionate. I can go to a strip club, have a few beers, and just watch and even get a few lap dances and be all right. I don't finish like a lot of these guys.
Right.
Yes, I...
In public.
Well, wait a minute. We just got bleeped out for saying in their pants.
Oh.
But I don't think we're going to get bleeped out again for that. Yes. Yeah, I know. It was one of those. We just got bleeped. It is sort of a saturation bleep. You guys have been talking about this. Yeah, I don't know. I'm putting this as delicately as possible. Yes. They would not disrobe or do anything differently than we're doing right now. And yes.
Here's what I'm saying about strip bars for me. It is a place full of naked chicks and alcohol. It's 5 seconds away from sirens and screaming.
Right. That's right.
Well, by the way...
Aren't the names of your kids, by the way?
Yes.
Yes.
Exactly.
We're getting a lot of calls for the Strippergram custom strip song for men. Can some ladies call? Yes, I've just heard from phone screener Kyle.
We got a lot of dudes calling.
Dudes are calling.
Because I'm looking up on the board and I'm seeing nothing but chicks, but we're getting a lot of guys calling.
Kyle says guys are calling.
All right.
Are gay.
Look, homos. I mean, fellas. I'll do one guy.
One guy. Kyle, I'll keep a guy.
I'll throw a wild card.
He hung up on all of them.
He'll call back.
I'll give a custom strippogram for one guy, but the rest.
866-901 Adam.
The rest are going to be ladies, and we'll do it next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Right now on the Adam Carolla Show, it's time for the custom strippogram. Want to find out what it's like to be a stripper? Call 866-901-ADAM, tell the Ace Man a little bit about yourself, and get up on stage. Back to Adam, Danny, and Teresa on the Adam Carolla Show. Well,
better late than never. Let's get the party started. You call up. Well, we got enough of you. Let's just start with Brooke. Brooke?
Yes, sir.
Your name is Brooke.
Yes, it is.
Mm-hmm. And let's see, occupation?
Action.
Occupation is what?
I'm a production coordinator in the film industry.
Mm-hmm. You ever worked on anything we've heard of?
Sure. I'm working on some Academy Award stuff right now.
Nice. You sound butch.
Yes.
Are you a lesbian?
I'm just hung over and have a time.
Please try your call again later.
Brooke? Oh, boy.
She's going in and out.
She's babbling.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right.
She sounded so defeated.
Hey, Heather?
Yeah.
I already started filling out Brooke's thing, so I'm going to call you Brooke, and let's just pretend you're production coordinator.
No, I don't want to be Brooke.
All right, you be
Neither
Heather.
Does Brooke.
My Heather theory is that all chicks named Heather are hot. Every single one
Heather,
ever
met. What do you look like?
I think I'm pretty hot. I'm tall. I have long blonde hair. I swear to God, I'm not lying. It sounds like a lie.
Mm-hmm. And what do you do?
I work in marketing.
Marketing. All right. And hobbies?
I really like to read, actually. Oh,
Christ,
what kind
you're
of
the
books?
Second one of these point actors we've had. Hold on, reading is not a hobby. It's something
no,
you
it
have
is.
To do when you're waiting.
No, it's a hobby. What are you reading right now?
Actually, right now I'm reading Tar Baby by Toni Morrison.
Good book.
What is that book?
Toni Morrison.
Yeah.
She's a great American author.
Using ethnic slurs.
It's called Tar Baby.
Toni the chick?
Yes, she has the...
Tar Baby.
Braids.
She wrote Beloved, too. Beloved was a really good book.
Right, you know Beloved. It was a movie. It was a movie with Oprah.
I was going to say she's on Oprah a lot, too.
Let me give you what hobbies are. Hobbies are Civil War reenactments, building ships in bottles, barefoot water skiing. These are hobbies, not sitting around and reading.
The fun began.
I'm sorry about the Civil War reenactments.
Well, Heather, what car do you drive?
I drive a crappy car. I have a 96 Honda Civic, and I hate it.
All right.
That's a good car. You can drive 3,000 miles on that if you maintain it.
Yes.
Yeah, I don't know. I was in an accident, so it's kind of falling apart, but it gets worked.
You didn't hit Brandy, did you?
Accident. All right. Now we're coming around.
Yeah, here we go.
All right. Let's get this party started.
Step away from the businessman's lunch and grab some singles. Coming to the stage now, it's Stripogram.
She's a nerd. She likes to get her read on. I got a bookworm in my pants, baby, and it's ready to rock. She likes marketing. Well, speaking of marketing, how about a cleanup aisle of mine? I killed myself. She got herself a Honda. It's a rolling piece of ass. She got in an accident. I hope she was rear-ended. Oh, I'm fat and I got a fanny pack. I got one earring, that'll get me laid. Who wants to come to my mom's house and do some booger sugar? All right, baby doll.
Nicely done.
I'm a long-term fan of yours. I love you.
Thank you, sweetie, but I will not claim you as a fan of mine if you continue this infernal reading.
I really like to go clubbing, too.
Oh, you want to go clubbing?
Yeah, did you ever read my book, Tough Guy?
No.
Yeah, thanks.
Read Bonaducci's book if you're going to read.
Yeah.
I don't want to read
Bonaducci's
book.
Well,
tell me. Adam, Heather. You can write a book. I'll read your book.
All right.
Okay.
I'll write a book. I'll show you. I'll show everyone. I'll write a book about not reading. That's
book
right.
On tape.
People's heads will explode
you
when they read
a book.
It. Oh, I did?
Yeah.
What's
it called? It's called The Loveline Companion.
Oh. That's right.
You wrote a book.
Heather, he has
You're
a
right.
book.
I do have a book. Smartest thing I ever did was not read that book.
Yeah,
because I have now no friends like Dr. Drew. It's uncomfortable when you work with a man who then goes on to write four books and you read none of them.
Right.
And he's hurt by it and voices it constantly. Well, you did not read my book. Everyone should do this. Write a book. Then don't read it. Then when some of your blowhard buddies say, why didn't you read my book? You answer with, I haven't read my book. And it shuts them up every
Good
time.
Idea.
I know it's a lot of work.
That is a great deal. You have to write with your eyes closed.
It's a great deal of work to write a book and then not read it just to have it as an excuse.
It.
But it's nice to have in your hip pocket. All right. Let's see. Let's talk to Tammy. Because that is a stripper's name right there. Tammy?
Hey, Adam.
What's going on, baby doll?
Oh, not too much. Just
you know,
sitting in traffic.
You know, Tammy and Cammy are my number one slut names.
Really?
Yeah. True.
Yeah, you talk to a chick on the internet named Cammy, you're getting laid.
What about Candy?
Candy, too,
Same.
But too obvious. Maybe,
too obvious,
maybe it's a stripper name. So, Tammy?
Go ahead.
Age, please?
45.
45. All right. And occupation?
Truck driver.
You're making me hot.
Wow. What do you haul?
Rock, sand, and gravel.
Tammy, are you married or are you what they'd call a cougar?
I'm married.
Mm-hmm. You're married. And what is your wife's name? You haul gravel for a living.
In her dump truck.
You have to be a lesbian.
No, I'm not. I'm
wow.
Not.
Wow.
What does your husband do?
Truck driver.
And your hobbies are black powder rifles and making your own chewing tobacco?
No, we ride Harleys.
You ride Harleys.
Nice.
Perfect. Perfect. Let's see.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And Tammy, describe yourself physically.
Who am I speaking with?
This is Teresa.
Yes.
Teresa.
Who?
How could you possibly be a listener to the show and not know Teresa?
schedule another therapy appointment. I'm not important.
But she just hung
too
up.
Easy.
Well, sometimes I have that effect on people.
Jesus Christ. I just wrote a whole thing. Screw it. I'm doing it anyway.
Let's do it anyway.
Doing it in memoriam.
Right on.
Hey, welcome to the stage, Tammy. She's a little bit long in the tooth and a little bit wide in the ass. Over the hill, but I tell you, I like to get over those 44 hills. You want to talk about bosomy? Let's focus on the torso, Jess. You'll vomit if you look down. She's a long haul trucker, and I'd like to do something that rhymes with trucker. You know what I'm saying? Hey, drop my load, backing up. She's got a hog. I'd like to park my hog in her garage. Change stage four, stage four. I'm throwing a curveball at you this week. I'm not wearing the leather fanny pack. This one's suede. I keep a bindle in it. Who wants a bump? All right. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I had to. You know, look, I filled out a whole sheet on Tammy.
I'd
be goddamn if I'm going to throw it away.
Well, Tammy's confused. I mean, she doesn't know who I am. A man sent me a whole box of toilet paper.
Oh, my God. Get over it.
All right.
How do you like? You could be either. She didn't know who you are, or you could be the 5,000 people that wrote me the first 3 days I worked here saying, die of cancer.
Wow. Yeah, better. Better to be anonymous.
Yes.
Better to be anonymous.
True, I'm under the radar.
All right, let's try another one. Let's see. I'm going to give you guys a choice.
Okay.
You want Julie with the Subaru, Lisa with the Honda,
another
Maria
Honda.
With the Dodge. She works at the DMV.
Oh, she, all right.
Yeah, I got to get that GTO registered. Go with her and suck up to her.
Maria?
Yeah?
Wow, you look great this morning.
Thank you.
What?
Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm. And you're 19?
Yes.
All right, let's see. Maria, you work for the DMV?
Yes, I work for the DMV.
Now, pardon me for sounding cruel, but I thought the DMV is where you went to die.
That's a big bitch.
I didn't know 19-year-olds worked. Everybody I see at the DMV sort of morbidly obese has one foot in a casket, literally using a casket as a shoe.
Right. Yes.
And a slipper on the other foot. I don't think of 19-year-olds at the DMV.
I'm actually the total opposite of what you would picture a DMV person looking like.
Oh, really? That's a good thing.
What do you look like?
She doesn't look like a prisoner or a prison guard.
Right.
No, I'm tall. I'm like about like 5'8", and I'm like, well, my boyfriend, he says one of my best assets are my boobs.
That's nice.
That's sweet.
I miss that part of a relationship where you sit down and you discuss parts.
Yes, that's the best part of the relationship.
You know what love, baby?
Yes.
I love your boobs.
Thank you.
I'm a fan of your scrotum. Thank you.
That conversation goes on a lot in my
house. Maria, what does your boyfriend do?
My boyfriend, he's a computer engineer.
Mm-hmm. And you, by the way, as far as your boobs go, what can I put you down for in the bra department?
I am a 36D.
36D, all right.
That's nice.
To factor that in. Hobbies?
Shopping.
What's your favorite store?
I don't know. I don't have one. I just like all the stores at the mall.
Forever 21?
Forever 21 or Charlotte Russe.
You know what? Where's the DMV? Target.
I feel like one day I'm going to sit down with women and explain how hobbies work. Because you guys have a serious problem, which is you don't have enough female friends and you don't have enough hobbies. And between the two, we can't leave the house with our male friends and do our hobbies. Well, you see what I'm
saying?
But
what do you want us to do? Make a little ship and put it in a bottle?
Well, yes, important. I mean, how dare you? Point is shopping is a hobby that costs the man money. This is not really a hobby. And reading and shopping, I feel like
Those guys need something.
Okay, so automobile.
I drive a 2005 Dodge Stratus.
Dodge Stratus.
Ooh.
All right.
My first car, too, so I got a good deal.
Right. All right, still working, DMV.
Well, what exactly do you do at the DMV?
I work for records. I work at the film records department.
Ooh. Filing?
Sort of. I do all the title histories and stuff like that.
What do you charge the kids for a fake ID?
Nothing. I can't. I am not accessible to that.
All right. I feel like that's still a nice in knowing someone who works at the DMV.
Yeah,
you ready to get started, baby doll?
Yes. She's my
Hey, everybody, quit your grinning and drop your lid. And Maria's hitting the stage. She works at the double DMV. That is good stuff. She's making her way to the stage. She's shaking her money maker. I gotta tell you, she ain't like them other fatties behind the counter. She is one of the hotties working over there. You'll be glad to get your picture taken next. As a matter of fact, don't be afraid to get your picture taken with a little wood inside the Johnson. Maria's over the DM, double DDD. She got herself a Dodge Stratus. I'll tell you one thing you can't dodge. Her boobies! Watch out, she'll turn around and knock a bar right off the table. Hey, baby, no, shake him up. Sheila, stage four, stage four. I'll tell you, it's time for me to renew my license to hump. All right, baby. Good job.
Thank you very much. I love you.
Jeez, like it's
that was really good.
Such a head rush every time.
Can I tell you something?
Thing.
The reason I used to just sit here and laugh because it's friggin' hysterical. It's my wife's favorite thing. I know she's at home laughing right now, which is kind of cool, bonding thing. But now I've taken to sitting back and just watching him because he becomes someone else, and it's weird
yes.
and freaky and kind of scary.
He threw in a change, and I don't like change because it's usually Jade to stage four, and today it was Sheila.
Mm. Oh. Well, we do have a dude.
Let's do a dude. Do we have time?
Dude looks
okay,
like a lady.
Very fast. Very fast. This is Bear, the guy.
All right.
Bear.
Bear?
Hello.
All right. We're going to make this
is
fast.
Your name Bear? Are you a bear?
No, I am not a bear. I got it because I was too drunk and stoned and asleep in college.
All right. Occupation. We're up against it here, Bear.
Okay. I build stainless steel doors.
You build stainless steel doors for, like, refrigeration and stuff like that?
No. Front entry systems.
Uh-huh. For, and residential?
Yeah, residential and commercial.
All right. He builds doors and hobbies?
Restoring my house.
Mm-hmm. You
Is
see,
that a real hobby?
Well, it involves tools and movement
right.
and dust. Yes. Thank you. And so you're working on your house and a car.
I drive a 2003 Scion, and I also drive a 66 Chevelle.
Chevelle.
World's Chevelle. Ugliest car.
I cannot believe that man said 66 Chevelle, and you said Scion.
That's he has a Scion.
I know. Who cares?
Right. All right. I'm going to focus on the Chevelle.
Yeah, okay. Of course.
All right.
You're a boy.
All right. All right. Hey, everybody. We got a little change of pace for you. You may want to clear out. Ladies, come on down. Homos, grab a chair around the edge of the stage. We got Bear hitting the stage. And I'll tell you one thing. His dork ain't hibernating. He hangs doors for a living. Speaking of hung, take a look at that, baby. That's a garage door. And speaking of doors, I'm working the back door, Bear. His hobbies are working on his house. I bet he works up a sweat so much so he has to take his shirt off and glisten in the sun like a slow-motion volleyball game. I love that movie, too. He's got himself a 66 Chevelle. He's got the 396 with the quad package on it. Ladies, you'll be burning some rubber in your heart later tonight. Jake, stage four, Jake. All right.
Nice.
All right. Bear?
Yes, sir.
There you go, brother.
Thank you very much.
Have fun with the fellas.
I'm sure you enjoyed that.
On the crew. And T.
Yes.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. Come back again for Stripogram.
We got to take a break, but the news is coming up. What's in it?
We're going to talk about Miss Nevada, who was dethroned because some naked photos came out. Anne Heche, big news in her world. And also, a Hall of Fame band is getting back together and going on tour.
All right. That after this.
The Adam Carolla Show, your news leader. Live, local, late-breaking. Teresa Strasser with the news that matters.
Saturday at a wedding reception in Ohio, the stepfather of the bride stabbed the bride's father.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now. The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, let's get to it, girl.
The news just broke yesterday that singer-actress Brandy was involved in a car accident on December 30th here in Los Angeles. It was a fatal car accident, and it might possibly have been her fault. She was on the 405 driving her Land Rover when she either failed to notice or was unable to stop for a line of cars that had slowed down in front of her. She plowed into a Toyota, and a 38-year-old mother of one was first hospitalized in critical condition and then died the next day.
I wonder how old the Toyota was.
2005.
I wonder 05. If your name is Brandy, if they automatically breathalyze you.
I would say, yeah.
I'm glad you mentioned
that. They said, hey, your name's Tequila. You know, okay, blow into this.
Well,
and then take a breathalyzer.
There's no evidence that she was under the influence of drugs or alcohol. Police are still investigating the incident. She was not arrested at the time. And what's interesting is this happened back on December 30th, and now with TMZ and all these websites, you know, it's unusual that something takes this long to break the story. So.
Well, whatever it was, she didn't stop in time. It's always her fault.
It's going to be a civil suit, but if she was stolen sober, it's called an accident for a reason. There'll be no...
sometimes there's just an accident, and you just couldn't stop in time.
Too bad. They'll sue and they'll win, but she won't go to any jail or anything like that.
I know, but really, is there a huge difference between having a few beers and doing it and then being up for manslaughter charges and doing your makeup and doing it? I mean, either way, you were doing something you shouldn't have done behind the wheel of the automobile, and we have a body.
Yeah. I text in a 67 GTO 3-speed.
Oh, no.
Okay, do you know how hard that is? That car's
all over
the road.
And then you're going to have to explain to somebody, I'm sorry your mother died, but I had to send a text to Gretchen.
But Jason was waiting. No, she doesn't know how to.
And it's a red GTO?
Yeah, bright red GTO.
And it's a convertible.
Sure is.
Because I feel like people don't know it's a convertible. It's like, that's a convertible. No, that's Bonaducci's hair. No, that's a coupe. That's a hard top. No, that's his head.
Is he looking down? Everybody drive carefully.
Well, in entertainment news, it is happening. David Lee Roth will reunite with Van Halen for a summer tour. And they are going to be going out with most of the original members, Eddie and Alex Van Halen, although the bass will be played by Eddie's 15-year-old son, Wolfgang.
Mm.
But other than that,
he can really play too.
I'm sure.
And, you know, they're going to be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in March. So we'll see if that creates any awkwardness when that other guy shows up.
Well, wait, I'm not sure I fully understand. Which guy is showing up?
Well, I would assume when they're inducted that Sammy Hagar will be invited.
The Red Rocker?
Instead of Diamond Dave?
They'll both be there. That's what I'm saying.
They'll both be there.
It's like,
the guy is 52 and dresses like he just got off the snowboarding tour.
I'm sorry, which one of the guys?
And never stopped talking about his tequila.
That's okay. Now we got Cabo Wabo. Now
Cabo Wabo, dude.
The guy never stops talking about his wang.
Yes, it's awkward, like at a wedding when you don't know if your dad or your stepdad should walk you down the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now,
yeah, that's what I'd have picked.
Let's talk about Miss Nevada. Yeah. You probably heard the story. She was stripped of her title because some very racy photos of her appeared on the internet. I don't know if you've seen them. I thought they were just going to be her kissing another girl at a party. No big deal. They're very racy.
She's kissing another girl, just not on the lips.
That's exactly
right.
Now,
we saw it on the DMZ or TMZ,
right,
whatever the hell it is. The point is they go ahead and they put a star where her tongue meets the road, but the road is jeans.
Yes, yeah. She's kissing another girl.
Which, as Adam so pointed out, makes it more salacious.
It does.
Well, let's put it this way. If I came up behind Danny,
right,
and I got him in like a little bit of a bear hug,
right,
and then you tiled out our groin,
yeah,
it would be a much filthier picture than what it actually was.
One is he's wrestling me to the ground because I might have a gun. And the other one is he's making sweet passionate love to me.
Well, this is the same argument as lingerie sometimes is more sexy than just a naked body. Because
no,
it's what's hidden.
Well, yes,
it
but no, this
something.
Suggests...
No, then that makes knights in shining armor red hot.
Let's put it this way. Here's what this is. If I took a photo of you on the beach in a bikini,
yes,
and I put two big stars where your boobs are, then a news story would be Teresa Strasser topless on the beach.
Yes. That's what they did with the stars.
She's
here.
Wearing
and they
jeans.
Do that. I just had that happen the other night.
They did that, I believe, to make it seem more salacious.
Two covers ago, I don't want to say which one because I don't want to make them mad.
Right.
I was at an award show where I was nominated, so I went. Mm-hmm. And Gretchen asked for a glass of wine, and I went and I got it for her. Somebody took a picture of me with a glass of wine in my hand. Then I set it down, and I grabbed my Coca-Cola, and I had a sip of it. And it's a Danny scene drinking at a award show. And when I called them, they said, "It's totally true, Danny." I said, "What do you mean?"
Soda.
They said, "Well, you had a glass of wine in your hand, and that's the picture. And you had a drink. We watched you take a sip of it." They said, "We don't care that it's Coke." It's
I'm glad you brought this up because a few people have asked me about this, and I'm going to get to this clip of Miss Nevada. But can you briefly answer for me on the last or second to last Breaking Bonaducci? There's an episode where your wife's band's playing, and you go
at
to the bar,
Hard Rock.
Yeah, and you say, "Give me a cranberry juice and make it interesting." And he charges you $9, and it's made to appear that cranberry juice is.
Here's
spiked.
What happens. I will tell you this. I do this all the time, Gretchen and I, because sometimes. I've been trying to get sober for, say, let's go really hardcore, 5 years.
Okay.
Now, if I've been drunk out of my mind, stupid, crazy, 100 times in that amount of time, that means I've been stone cold sober 4 years, 265 days.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that bad of a batting average.
That's right.
What I would do, so it's not like every night that show is misleading.
Right.
We'd sit down at dinner. And then I'd go, "Excuse me a minute." I'd go to the bathroom and I'd call the restaurant and ask for the bartender.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say, "Hi, it's Danny Bonaducci. I'm in the bathroom. Listen, my wife, I don't want to drink in front of my wife anymore. It's a big hassle for me. So when you start getting orders for cranberry juice with no ice, that's me. And that'll be a double shot of Stoli and cranberry, okay? All right, bye."
So that's what happened in that episode. That was an alcoholic beverage.
Oh,
okay,
dude, there are like 50 of them.
Jeez, okay, I do the exact same thing with my wife, but I call it the jewelry store.
And you go, "Listen, when she orders the tennis bracelet, you give her the CZ."
That's right.
Now, let's hear from Miss Nevada. Now, before I play this clip, I should remind you that Trump forgave Miss USA for her drinking and kissing of Miss Teen
USA.
You
no longer suck.
Exactly. And so I think here Miss Nevada is taking a shot at Miss USA, who admitted to drinking and kissing Miss Teen USA. Here's Miss Nevada.
"I feel like there was a huge double standard given. I asked for a second chance and it wasn't given.
I would have to agree with him that they were extremely racy. However, I'm not in rehab. I didn't test positive for illegal drugs. I wasn't caught making out with Miss Teen USA."
Well, when does your reign end as Miss Whatever? I mean, are we on the calendar
year? It's like
year?
Menudo.
They take it's 16. A year.
Yeah,
it's a year from the day of the pageant, I would assume.
Which was when? Because I feel like a lot of these people are three quarters of the way into the run anyway.
They make it a
long
way.
Are we arguing over 3 months here?
Well, Katie Reese, who we just heard, Miss Nevada, I'm not sure how long into her run she made it, but her run is over. And now there's talk about her posing for Playboy. Here's what she had to say about that.
"It's hard to say for now. I'm just working on getting out of the mold of the bad girl because I'm not a bad girl."
Well, you can explain it all when you're nude in Playboy.
She's not a bad girl. Anne Heche, also not a bad girl, but her marriage apparently was not good. Former lesbian
Lunatic.
And intergalactic explorer Anne Heche has left her husband, Coley LaFoon, allegedly for her Men in Trees co-star, James Tupper. But that's not official. But
who's Coley LaFoon?
That's the guy she's been married to. I think
who's Coley LaFoon?
He was a cameraman. They were married in 2001. I think he was some crew, and they have a kid.
I thought she was a lesbian.
No, she got married to a man.
No, she was a lesbian. She gave it up.
She denounced it.
She was with Ellen DeGeneres for years.
Yeah, she was with Ellen, and then she got married in 2001 to a dude.
And then Ellen started driving a Porsche, which was a good idea.
9/11 was the best thing that ever happened to her because it was right about that time she was talking to aliens, and she was saying she was from outer space, and she kept doing these interviews where she would speak in tongues, and then
Celestia.
The planes hit, and everyone forgot about it immediately.
You know, I had to try so hard, like when it first hit me. My television show, Dick Clark, the Other Half, and my book debuted September 10th. And
really?
And so then it happened, and my first reaction was, please don't call in because the shame hit within 5 seconds. I figured it out.
Right.
But before I could think of anything else, my first thought was, how could this happen to me?
That's what, I mean, it's natural, unfortunately.
And then I immediately, of course, went, oh, my God, how did this happen to America? How did this happen to these people? But I really remember, like, my show, my book. My book was called Random Acts of Badness on September 10th.
Wow.
September 10th and the better half.
The other half.
But how did your book end up doing?
It made the bestseller list, the New York Times bestseller list. So my agent called me, and I opened the New York Times and didn't see it. That's because they only put the top 10. The New York Times bestseller list is 100 books. I was like 96.
Well, people always need a laugh. That's the end for Anne Haitian, Coley LaFoon. Mm. They do have a 4-year-old son, Homer. So it's too bad for him.
Homer LaFoon.
Yeah, that's unfortunate.
Cousin Jacques Lestrap would be over there.
Well, there's a website called Sound 101, and they've been taking votes on the worst sound in the world. More than 1 million people weighed in. Do you want to know what a million people think the worst sound is? And I would have to agree.
All right.
The sound of a person vomiting. Because you hear that and you get nauseous.
I'm a throw-upper because I saw somebody else throw up.
Right.
Yeah, I'm absolutely sympathetic
it's
that
disgusting.
Way, too. Yeah.
Following that, the sound of a microphone feeding back.
Yeah.
You know, that high-pitched screeching. The sound of babies crying.
Mm. Actually, the sound of screech. Sunny. Saved by the Bell.
Sunny.
By the way, you hear this baby, Danny?
Yeah.
That's Sunny. Adam's son.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice.
That's actually him. A lot of people would say...
See, I used to bring my kids in and burn them with cigarettes to make them do those things. It's really funny.
A lot of people say this is the worst sound ever.
What are you getting at, peeps?
The sound of Jack
Bing,
Sawyer.
Bang, boom.
I know, Jack. I'm almost done. I'm wrapping up. The other 10 worst sounds are squeaking train wheels. I guess that is a bad sound.
What year are we in?
It's current. A squeaky seesaw. A badly played violin.
Squeaky seesaw?
Yes, on
here. When was the last time anybody heard a squeaky or non-squeaky?
Well,
how about squeaky frog? Her saying anything, there's a problem.
Yes, a whoopee cushion.
Her stabbing you.
Yeah.
Whoopee cushion?
Yes.
Okay, Whoopi Goldberg. Worst
and
sound.
This is a weird one. An argument in a soap opera. People don't like the sound of that.
What the
hell?
Where's my phone, you fat ass?
People doing peyote? An argument in a... Look,
in
what
a
about
opera.
Nails on the chalkboard?
Didn't
what about,
even crack the top
How about
10.
A dentist drill?
No.
Argument in a soap opera? Tan people arguing a pre-scripted argument by tan people?
People don't care for it. Tied for 12. Howling cats and cell phone ringtones. Chalkboard only came in 16th, and dentist drill, since you asked, was 20th, and someone snoring finished 26th.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Squeaky seesaw finishes 10 places before dentist drill.
Yes.
All right, you're now insane, and this list must be tossed out.
But vomiting is disgusting.
But every year, you should see your seesaw twice a year.
That's right.
That's how people know that.
As a matter of fact, I got a little postcard.
I thought you were going to play David Allen Greer vomiting. I was so convinced. Oh, you did?
That was David Allen Greer vomiting.
There we go. Thank you. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. You, CNN.
Oh, yeah. So off of Brandy killing somebody by mistake, but something she's young and she's going to have to live with that, and that's its own punishment, if you ask me. What is the worst thing you've ever done by mistake? Teresa's mom killed a kitten by mistake.
She drowned it when she was a little girl. She tried to take it in the tub with her, and she's felt horrible ever since.
I feel like we've all stepped on our dog's tail and done all that kind of stuff. But what have you done by mistake that you feel sorry for? A lot of people have backed over pets.
Yes, very common.
A lot of
common.
People have backed over kids.
Yes,
and
that
backed
happens.
Over kids.
Tell Remember us, Gotti's kid?
Yes, and then he killed the guy who
guy
killed
disappeared.
The kid. You call us 866-901-AM. Tell us what you regret. But again, only if it was by mistake. Next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Here's what's coming up tomorrow morning on the Adam Carolla Show with program director Jack Silver.
Yo, peeps, check the score. We're going to do some TV talk with Joe McHale from Ease the Soup. Indianapolis Colts defensive end Dwight Freeney. What, were you expecting some kind of tight end joke out of the Jackman? Grow up, peeps! And Steve-O, a dude from Jackass who tried to choke out the Ace Man? Holy crap, Silver's gonna have to hire some extra security! Hey!
Thanks, Jack. Now back to Adam Carolla, Danny Bonaducci, and Teresa Strasser on the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, based on this Brandy tragedy, we decided to talk about things you regret. Now we all... I've talked about doing damage to people intentionally, but what about by mistake? And you still have to live with it.
Yes.
Even a greater emotional burden, one could argue, because at least if you want to kill somebody and you kill them, well, they're dead and you wanted to do it. But
right.
if you do it with your vehicle and you don't mean to do it, then that's something you have to drag around forever. Let's talk to Sean. Sean?
Hey, Adam, what's up?
What did you do that you regret?
Well, basically, we were out camping about 30 miles north of Blythe on a dirt road where everybody drives golf carts around.
This is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Had a few beers, thought I was pretty cool trying to do that thing where you're driving backwards, you spin the car around, throw it in drive, and keep going.
Mm-hmm.
Except when I did that, I felt like a bump, which was my girlfriend falling off in a golf cart running over her and ripping the skin off of all of her legs.
What?
Wow. How's it going?
Well, it's tough on her, but at least you didn't feel a thud and the golf cart burst into flames, because that means you're with a big gal.
I did, camping. I did take her back and decide I did not want to wake the family up because it was midnight. Mm-hmm. The only thing I could find to ease the wounds was aftershave lotion that I poured all over her leg.
That'll feel good. A little Aqua Velva on
did
some road rash.
Oh, I got pictures of ripped up all the way down. And she ended up waking up the family as she screamed to death.
She was sleeping when you backed over her?
No, she was on the golf cart with me. Driving with me on a road.
She fell off and you hit her.
You took a sharp turn, she fell off, and you ran over her.
Right, I was backing up trying to do the Dukes of Hazzard thing where you throw it around, put it, and keep going.
That's easy to do.
Yeah.
But not with these anti-lock brakes anymore. You can't really do it. It screws it up.
I feel like that's the end of that relationship, though, for Sean. Did you still?
Yeah, that was it.
That was it. Yeah.
She dehydrated the next day, screaming at me, and we broke up.
All right. Well, at least you didn't have to live. If you would have married her, she would have been harping on you for the next, you know, however long the relationship went on. And then whenever camping, golfing, or anything with four wheels ever came up, she'd shoot you that stink eye.
I think he feels bad, though.
Well, here's someone who ran over Roger.
Yeah, what's up, Adam?
What's happening? Danny, is that you?
Yes. Am I breathing? Am I breathing again?
I think I hear
Danny.
It again.
That was not Danny.
Roger?
Yeah.
What's up? What'd you do that you regret?
Okay, man. This Christmas, my wife and I, we've only been married a year, and I met my mother-in-law one time. So we decided we were going to go and do the Christmas thing at my mother-in-law's house.
Mm-hmm.
And she's got a gate outside. You open up the gate, you can drive in through the driveway. Well, she's got like six dogs, and one of them is a Chihuahua that she's had for about 12 years.
Mm.
And I'm pulling into the yard, and I guess a little bit too fast, and I heard a pop. I got out, and her Chihuahua, 12-year-old Chihuahua, is underneath the right front tire.
Well, your mother-in-law is lost, but society's gained.
Absolutely.
What was the
one less yappy little dog.
What was the Chihuahua's name?
Oh, yeah, I hate Chihuahuas, but
no,
I felt
cute.
Really bad.
Tweety.
Yeah.
So my wife and I are going to go ahead this week, and actually we've been looking for a while. We're going to get her another dog.
Well, get her a lab or a real dog, would you please?
And call it a 10.
And by the way,
call the dog a 10 just in representation of the freeway you hit it on.
The dog was 12 years old. That's 84.
It made it long enough. But,
yeah, that's
I mean,
fine.
I still felt like I, it's
that's fine.
Yeah.
If you ran over an 84-year-old person, I wouldn't think, well, so how much damage
Roger,
you done?
That was the first time meeting his mother-in-law. Not a good impression.
And if the kids are upset, you just say the little puppy went to a ranch in hell. That's what I'm going to do with my kids.
That's what you got to do. That's the way I play so rough.
Jenny over here cut two of her sister's fingers off.
No!
That's a good one.
Jenny?
I did.
Oh, no.
How did that happen?
I was 9 years old. She was 7. We went to the ice skating rink, and she fell, and I skated over and hit her, and I ran over her fingers.
Which two?
Awesome.
Which fingers?
her pointer and her middle finger.
On her right hand if she was a righty?
She's a lefty, but it was her right hand.
Because her fingers are already on ice, were you able to save them and have them reattached?
Yes. Because one of them was
not
actually
as good for me,
only
though.
Hanging. So,
but Jenny, Jenny, how bloody was it?
It was so bloody that they had to get everybody off the ice to redo, whatever.
Get out the Zamboni.
Yes.
All right. Well, that is very sad. Has she forgiven you for this?
Absolutely.
Hmm.
How's that piano career she was going for?
But Jenny, if you could do it over again, would you have sacrificed your own two fingers rather than have the guilt of having done that to your sister?
Oh, wait a second. I put her down. Yes. Jenny, would you ran over your own hand?
Nope.
All right. That's what
good
I like
for
to
you.
Hear.
Wow.
Quickly, Carol.
She's
yeah.
You ran over your husband?
My ex-husband, yes. He was my husband at the time. Now he's my ex-husband.
And you physically ran him over with an automobile?
I physically ran him over with a Camaro, a Berlinetta.
Mm. A Berlinetta, nice.
And this was by accident.
It was by accident, yes. And I thought I was being a hero, and I was going to save him. He was in a fight with a guy. And this is way before I was the responsible adult that I am now. But he was in the middle of the street fighting with a guy with a knife,
mm-hmm.
and I was in my car. And I thought, okay, you to do. I'm
front runner
a hero.
For definitely not a Jew next week. Knife, Berlinetta.
Are you a Jew?
So I don't.
No.
Definitely not a Jew.
You never know.
And you tried to run the guy over who had the knife, but you ran your husband over instead.
I was going to drive between them.
Right.
And I ran over something, not knowing what it was at the time. And the fight stops. I turn my car around, and there's my husband laying in the street. And at this point, I think he's been stabbed.
Right.
And he yelled, "You animal, you stabbed him." And he yelled, "You bitch, you ran him over."
Right. Oh, and then I'm fighting with his wife. Because I think her husband is now dead.
Oh, I love that kind of white trash when the wives start going at it.
You were talking about that one day, and I thought it was, but that was awful.
Well, yeah. I've been told by men that as a woman, I should never step in because it's emasculating. I should hold back my guy as if he's so wild and tough that I'm holding him back.
Should I tell you what you should not do? You chicks should not actually start fights between us guys.
But
like being a big ass and flirting with one guy or looking at the other guy or saying, "That guy, don't do that. My boyfriend's going to kick
your
ass."
But if you do start the fight, at least end it by running over the right guy. We need to take a quick break. You know why? Because Jewel... definitely not a Jewel.
How funny is that?
Is going to be on the phone next. So we'll speak to the famous Jewel next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to the Adam Carolla Show. It's time to play Guess the Movie Quote with our Nicaraguan movie reviewer, Oswaldo Castillo. Can you guess which movie this famous line is from?
Adios, you f***ing prick move. And excuse every motherfucker last one of ya.
If you said Pulp Fiction.
Any of you f***ing pricks move, and I'll execute every motherfucking last one of you.
You're correct. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm going to have to re-instruct the guys that there must be human beings on the planet that would be able to get that one.
English, do you speak it?
Jewel's on the
phone. Oh, thank God.
Good. Questions for Jewel.
Is on the phone. Jewel?
Hello.
Good to speak to you, Jewel.
Hey, how y'all doing?
We're doing great. Good. You're giving a plug to Nashville Star, which is tonight, 10 o'clock on USA Network.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's been on a long time.
Fifth season this is, yes, Jewel?
Yeah, it is, actually.
And, Jewel, as far as you go, are you going more that direction these days?
I'm not sure if I'm going that direction or if the formats are coming my direction. I'm not sure which.
I mean, do you always feel like you just make your own music and people can go ahead and compartmentalize your music? Or do you set out to go, I'm going to do some country and I'm going to do a ballad or I'm going to do whatever?
I've been a country fan my whole life. I'm a storyteller. I'm a songwriter. So I think what I do pretty naturally goes country easily. And it's funny because as the pop format has changed so much, it's almost just become a natural home. I don't think I've changed at all. I think it's sort of just the formats have really changed around me.
When you started, though, I was playing, I've played your records for years now.
Yeah.
And it sounded I don't know if this part's going to sound that good, then I'll fix it. Kind of like folk music, if you will. Mm-hmm. But I would easily compare you to Joni Mitchell or Baez.
Yeah, singer-songwriter.
Which is a real nice compliment coming from me, by the way.
Well, thank you. They're a lot of my heroes, and I love songwriters. I love Loretta Lynn because she reminded me of Joni Mitchell in a way that she was talking about female sexuality and political climate in her culture the same way Joni Mitchell was about her culture.
Julie, go ahead. I'm sorry. You just reminded me about, I read that you had a book of poetry that you've written about your boyfriend, Cowboy Ty Murray, but it's too racy to be published. Is that true?
No, it's not too racy to be published. I just didn't want his mom reading it.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Most cowboys' moms can't read, so you normally can dodge that bullet.
How should I know?
Yeah. Are you? That's my mom, Jewel. Are you, you were basically, you're raised in Alaska, right?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
and lived in a car. But most people that end up in Alaska, I feel like, are fleeing something.
No, you go to Alaska.
They're running
flee.
From their past. Is that the situation with your family?
They actually came over from Switzerland and Germany. They were part of a movement called the Futurist, which is an artistic movement like Dadaism.
Dadaism is like my favorite, by the way.
Yeah, so it's sort of an off-branch of Dadaism called the Futurists. And, you know, the war was about to happen. Germany was sort of gearing up, and they decided they really wanted to get out and find a new place. And they sent my granddad ahead as a scout, and he ended up staying up there. Nobody else ended up coming up except my grandmother.
My family are lethargists. They nap
they all
day.
Started the movement, or they just followed it?
This is a song by Dada, by the way, that's playing behind us. Brian, stop showing off,
well,
would you, please?
I'm curious, because Nashville Star is sort of like a country music American Idol. I'm curious if you watch American Idol and what you think.
Yeah, I actually got to be a guest judge on American Idol for the season premiere in Minneapolis, and it's great. You know, I think anybody that likes American Idol will like Nashville Star. I think our niche is, you know, obviously I guess we're more country influenced, but we're looking for an all-around artist. Every single one of our contestants plays at least one instrument, genuinely, and most of them play three.
Uh-huh.
They all write their own music, and they all are world-class singers, That's why
really
I really got into the show.
Yeah.
It's very authentic. There's nothing real staged or choreographed about it. It's a really authentic show, and everybody deserves to be up there and get that deal.
Now, Jewel, where are you living now? Do you live in Nashville?
I live in Texas.
Mm-hmm. With Ty?
Yep.
That cowboy boyfriend who I see on the Miller Lite commercials with?
Him?
Yeah. That's him.
Oh, my God. How handsome is he?
He's handsome.
Jewel
he is really handsome.
How creepy is Burt Reynolds in person, be honest?
He's so funny. I can't even tell you.
Funny. Riddler funny?
Funny and Asian looking.
Hey, Jewel, was Danny Bonaducci in one of your videos or stills of him?
Yes, actually.
Okay, I heard about this. This is Danny. I heard about this. Somebody called me up and said, and here was their exact cell. But they must have known me really well to know that this was going to be fine with me. They said, listen, Jewel wants to do a song about life and really sucking, but at least she's not you. And she'd like to show pictures of you to prove that her life sucks less than yours. Is that okay with you? And I said, absolutely. Is that what? So I never saw it. Is that what happened?
Well, that isn't how I would have sold it, but
yeah.
That person must have loved you.
Well, they knew I'd like that and appreciate it. So is that true? I'm in one of your videos about, like, at least I'm not like that guy?
I'm trying to think of what the exact line is. I'm spacing on the exact line. Because it's nice to see people more messed up than me. I think that's the
line. That made it better.
Did you have other options before you got to Danny Bonaducci?
You know, I didn't have anybody in mind, really. I was just...
Well, they contacted Jan Michael Vincent's camp, but couldn't get a return call.
With you, and I said, hey, whatever.
Just so you know, my boss, if you will, Adam Carolla, said he used to play a game when my TV show was on called You Could Be Married to Him.
That's right. I would sit my wife down, and I would say, you think you got it tough? It was equivalent to what your parents did where there's people in Africa that don't have food and you won't finish your lima beans.
Yeah.
That's what we would do with Bonaducci.
I'm honored on all sides.
Well, where can we see this video, Jewel?
Gosh, I bet you could do it on Yahoo.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure YouTube.
On YouTube. We can
The video's called Good Day.
See snippets of... now, are the things with Bonaducci, is that lifted from Breaking Bonaducci?
I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's got to be me killing somebody.
No, I think it was just your face. It was really a quick moment.
All right. Well, we'll look
more
forward.
Than enough with me.
Look forward to that. We'll also look forward to Nashville Star, which is tonight, 10:00 USA. You get out to L.A. now and again, don't you, Jewel?
Yeah, I do.
Why don't you stop by and pay us a visit in the flesh?
Yeah, you know what? There's going to be a bull riding in Anaheim on February 9th and 10th. You guys should come down to that.
I'd love that. Will your husband, Ty Murray, be competing?
No, he'll be doing the announcing. He does the television broadcasts for Fox and NBC.
He's been retired for a few years, is that correct?
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
okay.
But you guys will have a blast going.
Well, I'm telling you right now, though, I would never marry a bull rider.
Oh, that's your boyfriend. I'm sorry.
You just flip out, though. I mean, that looks... I mean, because I like to do stuff that could potentially kill you. That's what that's what makes me think things are really fun. If you screw up even a little, you could die. That's
You're
going to
get
me.
Addicted if you come down there, Danny.
Bull riding
come.
It scares me.
Oh,
I can't believe it.
very addicted.
Danny on a boat. Believe me, to everything except bull riding.
I'll do it today. But I'm telling you right now, it's one of the very few things that scares me. When I see those guys, I think to myself, wow, would I do that?
I'll tell you the worst of all worlds is the rodeo clown. Because you do the bull riding, you risk your life, but the next animal you climb onto is Jewel. That's right. But it's a rodeo, and she bucks, but you could believe me, I'd make it the 8 seconds. Maybe 9 with you, Jewel. The point is, rodeo clown, he gets on a chick heavier than the bull after getting gored by the bull.
Wow, wearing a clown suit for a living.
That's right. Hey, you know what, Jewel? Write this down, because I know you're an idea person. Mm-hmm. Now, look, we've had a lot of horror movies and a lot of killers who wear hockey masks and a lot of them that, you know, are gory and leather face and all that stuff. Rodeo clown. Scariest killer of all time. This would be the greatest horror movie ever.
He just jumps out of one of those barrels at your house.
He jumps out of one of those clown barrels. He stabs you and it's right back in. He's got the big suspenders with the cut off Levi's.
You see a shadow of the big nose.
96 inch waistline.
If you woke up and standing at the foot of your bed was a rodeo clown in full regalia, you would die without him even touching you. You would just have a heart attack.
You're talking from experience. You're kind of scared.
I was true, molested. I mean terrorized.
By a
rodeo clown for many years. You want to know the worst thing you could do to a kid? That would be it.
That would do it.
That would be it. All right, Jewel. Hey, when you come out here for the bull riding competition, why don't you stop by and say hi?
Oh, we'd love it.
All right.
You can do a live feed from down there, guys. You'll have a blast.
Bring Ty with you.
I'd like you to know I'm much nicer now.
Yes.
You've always been nice. I've known you for years.
Well, I know that, but I mean, the TV show is a little radical.
And next time you're looking for somebody to manifest the concept of loser, you know, go with Todd Bridges.
Yeah. That's right. Yeah. That's right, baby. All right, Jewel. We'll see you when you come to town.
Thank you, Jewel.
Sounds good.
And again, Nashville Stars, the name of the show. Yes, is there anything scarier than a rodeo clown?
Clowns are scary just as is.
Right. Now you mix one whose feet smell like horse ass, and you got trouble.
Yeah, right. I'm a little afraid of clowns, a little afraid of snakes.
We'll take a quick break. Be right back for So What Have We Learned after this. Well, just enough time to do a little segment called So What Have We Learned. Well, we've learned that we don't need to say liquid in liquid mercury. If someone spills some mercury, they don't need to spill liquid mercury. They spill anything. He spilled some liquid grape juice. Yes, when I hear spill, then I'll do the liquid math. But plus, until mercury starts showing up in big blocks of ice, I'm going to do the liquid math and liquid mercury. The other thing we've learned is a crappy apartment building is as good is a whorehouse. It is essentially a teen-run whorehouse. I'm dropping my 15-year-old off there as soon as he hits his birthday. 2 years after his bar mitzvah, he's going to an apartment to get laid. And last, we've learned, well, forget Jason or Freddy. Scariest horror movie villain of all time, the rodeo clown.
Good times.
Tomorrow, Steve-O. I'll be reunited with Steve-O, Joel McHale, love of T's life, Dwight Freeney. I believe he got All-Pro honors this year. If not, it would be an oversight. Dwight Freeney, the defensive end for the Indianapolis Colts, the star of the Indianapolis Colts defense. It's Peyton Manning on one side and Dwight Freeney on the other side of the ball. We'll be talking to him about the Super Bowl. What else? Tomorrow, and until next time, this is Adam Carolla saying, mahalo.
I'm sorry,
that was the dream, the impossible dream.